participate in a Don and Mike Show contest? How about this? You or a member of your household can only win once for 60 days. You must comply with any age limitations for each contest. For complete contest rules, send a self-addressed stamp envelope to the mighty WJFK, P.O. Box 3649, Washington, D.C., 20007. Thank you, and God bless.
Don and Mike, there'll be no mollycoddling.
You see if your mom can give my resume to Dennis Phillips? Because if I could get in a Broadway show, then I would have done it all. Film, television, and theater. The only thing left to be radio. That's just for ugly people.
Stay tuned for your chance to win big money by naming the celebrity burp. Only on the Don and Mike Show.
This episode deals with the inappropriateness of racial invectives and contains coarse racial slurs. Viewer discretion is advised.
Everybody loves Don and Mike.
And yes, the rumors are true. They smoke, they drink, they use bad language in mixed company. They're extremely rich and they can flash more bling than most posses in this room. Rock stars they are, and God bless them for that.
You can call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-265-3636. From D.C. on WJFK 202-432-1067. And from New York City on WNEW 877-692-1027. They're ready to believe you.
I've had it up to here with the likes of you people.
Stop on the run, can't stop the run, can't stop the run.
Sounds like somebody's got a case of the Mondays.
Stop on the run, can't stop the run, can't stop the run.
Okay, hi, Don and Mike.
Hi.
Have I told you you're my favorite?
Hi. Welcome to our show.
Hey, Don and Mike.
Or you don't know to sell a book.
It's the Don and Mike show. And they'll say what they wish.
Where else would you rather be than right here, right now?
Well, here they are. All of his children.
Get him out of here.
Father's
I don't want
no, just one Monday. Just one Monday I want to come in here and have to deal with those guys.
Actually, didn't Julia give you a beautiful spoon?
Yeah, I got a spoon, and they've actually gave me a tie with an eagle on it.
Based on a true story, he was a neo-Nazi with one true enemy. Himself, a man of faith, a man of hate, and a soul torn apart. Viewer discretion advised.
What a lovely spoon, and so light.
Stop it.
Good morning, Mr. and Mrs. Octoroon and all the ships at sea. Here they are, ready to take a powerful slug from the jizz jug, Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
Speak for yourself, Rob. And hello, and thank you for listening, everybody. Don and Mike show new episode on this Monday, June 73rd. And here's the phone numbers from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. Washington, D.C. WJFK 202-432-1067. And before I make a horse's ass out of myself and give out the WNEW New York request line, let's take a moment.
Let's.
To call the WNEW listen line to hear.
Find out what the status is.
What the good people of New York are hearing right now.
Wonderful idea.
This show should be airing live.
I hate you, Halloween.
Tape. Yeah, that's the Donnie's Naked Cruelty for Hens from Halloween.
Right. Halloween, who oddly enough became a good friend
of
the show after that.
On my show.
Thanks a lot.
All right. another week of tapes in New York.
Classic moment.
I guess so. Yeah, very good. Fine programming. Well, we just checked.
You know, if you're going to pick the tapes, though, I mean, like, pick stuff that didn't run a month ago.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know.
Yeah.
But I don't know.
It's all good.
He was asking me about it before the show when he's bloodying my nose. There he is, Buzz Burbank, who today pulled a Tyson on me, incidentally, and bit my ear off.
Oh, my God. Look at that. You're still bleeding.
Where he was asking. He was saying, introduce me, bastard.
Come on, brother. I was a little excited.
And he said he would make me F him till I loved him, and then he called me a faggot.
Yeah, he said, I'll F you till you bleed, faggot.
How's Burbank?
And on top of you, pulling your hair and biting your ear.
There he is. Hello, Don and Mike show.
A wild pony.
Hello, Don and Mike.
Yeehaw.
Hi, Don and Mike.
Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, this is John from New York City. How are you?
We're doing pretty well.
You're not live here, and you haven't been live for 3 weeks, and they keep playing the same best of every day, and I think I'm about to start crying.
Well, we really don't know what's going on. As a matter of fact, we just called the listen line ourselves because
we wanted to find out if we were live or not.
Yeah. Oh, no, you haven't been live for a long time.
Yeah, we were just double-checking today, and, we're not responsible, but we say sorry about that.
Okay. I mean, there's nothing we can do.
Okay, thanks.
Thanks, my friend. Bye-bye.
Goodbye.
Hey, incidentally, though, our ratings were up.
Thank you.
The ratings that just came out.
Yeah?
Yeah, our ratings went up a little.
So thanks for that.
Congratulations.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Okay.
Thank you.
Means a lot. Thank you.
Nice fella.
Thank you. Maybe he'll tell others.
Thank you. I feel bad for those folks.
Thank you.
In New York. Yeah. Okay. Before we get to the weekend stuff, let me just tell you, I'm gonna backtrack here a little bit. I'm going to go back on my word that at one point I said I was done with strip trivia forever on this show.
Have you seen the light, Danny?
Well, here's the deal. We have a trip to Hollywood to give away on Wednesday.
Ooh, La La Land.
This trip to go out to Hollywood to be at the a taping of an intimate VH1 special with Poison, and then passes for you and a friend to go to a party after the show with the actual band.
This is their end of tour party, right?
This is it.
This is the big party where that's like the biggest party of the tour. Big blowout.
This prize valued at over $5,000.
Fantastic.
So, there's lots of ways we could give it away, but I'm going to give Strip Trivia one last shot.
Good for you.
We're not going to play the songs. We're not going to do the begging. We're simply going to say we're looking for five women who, without fail, can be here,
right,
at the Dynamite World Broadcast Headquarters Wednesday morning at 11 o'clock.
Wednesday,
that's the day. We have to give away the trip on Wednesday.
Okay.
And if we don't get response from women, then we're going to move on and we'll give it away. We'll play another reindeer game.
Right.
Good. But all I know is that since we announced we weren't going to have strip trivia anymore, every once in a while people call, girls call, and they say, I really wanted to play strip trivia. I really wanted to come down. We've had plenty of regular girls coming on the show and getting naked since the banishment of the strip trivia from the Donna Mike show.
Well, I also think it's a better warm weather activity. I think that people are more they're more inclined to take their clothes off when we have a little warm weather. So hopefully we'll get a studio full of women that are going to enjoy strip trivia.
Now, as always, we got to get the girls before we get the guys. There's never a problem getting guys to play games on this show. And thank you, guys. We appreciate it. But unless we get the women folk, we're not going to even try.
I'd like to set a record with women. I mean, I think we took this away. Now we're bringing it back, and I think that we love doing it. I think it's one of our best things that we do on the show. And I really hope that this time around, with the new time slot, we get an overwhelming response from the women in our audience.
So the phone number is 877-365-3636.
That's a trip for two, right? A trip for two out to L.A.?
Yes. Ooh. Or 202-432-1067. We're going to announce this every break, and that's all we're going to do is just announce it and say, if you want to play, girls, call up. It's a trip to Hollywood. It's all the stuff with VH1 and Poison.
This time our staff will be coming out to your home, getting your social security number, actually taking a fingerprint and a picture, just to guarantee that if you say you're going to come on strip trivia, you're going to come on.
It's a pretty good gift. But if no girls call, then in fact it will be the death of strip trivia. In fact,
we don't want that.
This is what you would call the JC moment of strip trivia.
The JC moment?
For he has risen.
He has risen. Very good.
He has risen from the dead.
This is like the stay of execution. This is like the governor calling one last time and granting. You're the governor, and you're granting a stay of execution for strip trivia, but only if the evidence, which will be whether women show up or not, can conclusively prove that strip trivia should be spared.
But the women have to call, and we have to verify they're going to be here.
Very proud of that one. That
we have to verify that they're going to be here on Wednesday.
Right.
I myself like the Jesus thing. Like, it's dead.
Yes.
It's dead.
But it has risen?
We put strip trivia up on the cross.
Mm-hmm. Right.
We dragged it through the town.
Sure.
We buried it in rock, and now...
Well, that's really the way we've always been. It's always the court system with me and the Bible with you.
and now, a couple of months later, here it is again.
You're going to roll back the stone.
Rolling back the stone. So we...
I think we know what he enjoys, too.
Rob.
That's right. Roll back the stone.
So we need to...
Roll back the shroud.
We need the girls to call. So girls, if you call, we'll play strip trivia on Wednesday. If not, we'll give away this fabulous prize in another way. Okay. Now that we've mentioned that... Okay, the weekend, the Father's Day weekend.
Yes. How was it?
I'll tell you, mine was not bad. It started off on a fantastic note on Saturday. You know, my wife had somehow bullhorned me into going to see this Broadway-type show, Saturday Night Fever.
But you went willingly. You liked that kind of...
You liked the show.
No. I went to see Mamma Mia.
Right.
And I thought, if there's ever a Broadway show that I'm going to enjoy, it's the ABBA music, and we walked out at halftime.
You hated it.
So... We're sitting around on Saturday morning having our coffee, looking in the newspaper, and I do something I never do. I'm reading now. I'm not just looking at the pictures or looking at the sports. I'm actually... hold on a second. Hello?
Hello?
Are you a lying, thieving, cheating bitch?
Or are you telling the truth?
I'm telling the truth.
You want to play strip trivia?
Yes, I do.
You know, this is important.
Yes.
This is an important decision.
It's a commitment.
Pardon our harshness.
Yes. I understand.
If we are coarse with you, it's only because time is of the essence, as Mr. Wolf says in both.
We feel it necessary to be a little harder on the women than we have in the past, simply because we want to make sure... How's the little baby?
He's doing fine.
We want to make sure that... Hey, that little baby. We want to make sure that that the women show up.
Okay.
So okay.
You're in what is your first name?
Laura.
Oh.
Hey, Mike.
Well, mine aren't that young, Don.
And Laura?
Yes.
Where are you calling from?
Columbia.
The celeb you think you most resemble?
I don't know. I have to ask my husband. Who do you think I'm most...
All right, ask your husband. Ask him. Go to the back of the double wide. Take a good look at
Selma
you.
Hayek.
Selma Hayek.
Can we put your husband on for a moment?
Hold on a second.
Yeah, this could help us, don't you think?
Hello?
Yeah, hi. How you doing, sir?
Pretty good. How you doing?
Now, listen, here's the deal.
All right.
If your wife makes this commitment to play the game, she absolutely has to show up Wednesday morning at 11.
Don't worry. She'll be there.
She's got to be.
I believe this guy right away. I totally believe this guy. He's got that credibility in his voice.
Confidence.
All right, that's one down. Thank you. So hold on. We'll see your wife on Wednesday.
Get the impression together.
You're going.
Hello, Donna Mike Show.
All right.
Hi,
are you a lying, thieving, two-faced, unreliable bitch who will back out on her word at a moment's notice?
Or are you someone who is going to be...
No, I'll be there. I'm a teacher, and today's my last day of school, so I'm off for the summer.
So you're going to be personally responsible, you know, for saving strip trivia if you show up down here, and in fact, it does go off. Get off. I mean,
Wednesday, yeah, we know what you mean. That is Wednesday morning at 11. Carla, where are you from?
Baltimore.
Baltimore, beautiful. And who is the celeb you think you most resemble? Let me ask you. Are ye a pretty lass?
Definitely. I think, you won't be disappointed.
All right.
Well, you know, that's good enough for me.
Yeah. Hold on a second.
Of course,
I've won a wet T-shirt contest before.
It's always nice to have the celebrity you most resemble, though. Has anyone ever said, hey, you kind of look like this person? Come on.
I would say young Elizabeth Taylor.
Young Elizabeth Taylor.
Okay. Beautiful.
Fantastic.
I've heard that before.
That's nice. Wonderful.
Hold on.
That's terrific. Please. Thanks for calling, Mrs. Bass.
Hold on.
Wait, T-shirt.
Rob, you shut up now.
Now, we have to be kind now, Rob.
Hello, yeah. Don and Mike Show.
Hello.
Live to be kind.
Hello, who's this?
Hello.
Who's this?
This is Beth.
Beth, are you a lying, scheming, two-faced, unaccountable for bitch of a woman, or are you a stand-up guy?
Probably a bitch.
So you're not going to play?
Oh, no, I'm going to play.
See, right now, I already have problems with that answer there. You know, we need women that are really going to commit to this.
Committing to it.
You're committing to it, to play Strip Trivia Wednesday.
Yeah.
Something you've always wanted to do?
I've thought about it. My husband and I listen to you guys a lot, and we always listen when you guys do this.
All right, beautiful. Beth, where are you from?
Fairfax.
Okay, and who's the celeb you think you most resemble?
Deborah Winger.
There's always a winger in the crowd.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
You know, and Beth, in particular, I will give Beth a high five if she shows up, because I don't think she is.
All right, hold on there, Beth.
Okay.
Hold on. Thank you, honey. Thank you.
Gates of hell will open up.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Don't tease us. See, I shouldn't be like that. I'm thinking, just when I said that, I shouldn't say, hey, if she shows up. We should be real taskmasters this time. We should not accept...
No
shows. They won't be accepted. We're going to get more information this time than we ever have.
Absolutely.
Before.
And get ready to get called from our staff, many of them with staph infections.
Right.
Be ready to be called 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 times a day.
Yes, just to make sure. And if you show up, of course, everything is wonderful, and you have a chance to go to Los Angeles and, you know, go out to the fabulous Hollywood area.
But if you don't show up, yes. Watch out.
Watch out, because not only will it be the death of a great radio game, but it'll also be, your responsibility.
Hello, Donna Mike Show.
Hello?
Hello, who's this?
Dina,
are you lying, scheming, conniving, two-faced, unreliable, habitually calicorn?
No, I'm a very sweet girl.
Very sweet girl. And if you said you were going to come down to play Strip Trivia, would you really do it?
Yeah, absolutely. I'm very good at trivia, actually.
You are, and you've always wanted to. Yeah. You like the idea of going to Hollywood?
Yeah, absolutely.
How old are you?
28.
Beautiful. And where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Chevy Chase, Maryland.
And who is the celeb you think you most resemble?
People always tell me Tia Carrera.
Tia Carrera. Yeah. Wonderful.
That would be a bonus.
You know this is a commitment.
Yeah, I know.
It's Wednesday.
You'll give me more info, right?
Yes, but Wednesday at 11 o'clock.
Okay, actually, I do have a quick question. Just how far do I have to strip down?
Naked.
Well, it depends how smart you are.
Mm-hmm. If you're smart and you answer all the trivia questions, you don't take any clothes off.
Got it.
You only take clothes off if you miss the answers.
I'm looking forward to this.
All right, so are we. Hold on, please.
Honor your commitment, please.
Hold on.
Honor.
You've made a promise.
How many? Do we have five already?
Four.
Hello, Donna Mike Show.
Yeah, how you doing, guys?
But we really gotta. We've gotta oversell.
We do, yeah, big time. Mm-hmm.
This has got
to
be
because
like,
we have to have overbook. Unbelievable ratio. We mm-hmm. we should overbook. I think 10 times.
Hello, Donna.
We should have 50 women.
Hello.
Hey, how you doing, guys? I'm just finding out for the first time. You guys are on live in New York. I'm sorry to hear that.
We've not been on live in New York for I guess 3 weeks now.
I know. I miss you guys. I'm sorry to hear that.
Are you calling from Gotham?
I'm calling from Gotham, actually New Jersey.
Well, please enjoy whatever month-old tape it is that that they're playing today.
You know, I have no choice, but I guess I have to enjoy what I get.
Listen, and you should tell anybody in the New York area, you do have a choice. Get on the turnpike, and when you get light...
You can get like 45 minutes down the pike.
Yeah, you go to 94.1, and you'll hear the show on WYSP Philadelphia.
And enjoy it on our Philadelphia affiliate. Mm-hmm.
Hey, you know what? You guys did a great job. You made me laugh, and I really appreciate it.
God bless you, sir. Thank you for your support.
Thank you.
Thanks, guys. Bye-bye.
We got to overbook this thing like TWA for flights.
Absolutely.
Really, we have to overbook trivia like you would not believe.
Be like the person who sits at the counter when the family goes that's booked their vacation for 6 months in advance, and three of their seats have been taken by someone else, and the person behind the counter says, I don't know.
Yeah, it's got to be like that. So that's a good start. Four girls is a good start. If all four of those girls show up, that would be a good strip trivia right there.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But we need more.
Yes. We do.
And we'll continue with the show. So let me tell you about this thing with this Saturday Night Fever going to this thing. Since my wife and my son and a couple other, and another mother, another kid, what they're doing is they're on this tour, this college tour, right, that thank God I don't have to participate in this week.
Right.
I will have to at some point. I think next week I have to.
Mm-hmm.
We have a week off. But what they're doing is they're driving across the country and going to all these different schools.
Right.
Checking out the colleges for my kid. So we celebrated Father's Day on Saturday. Oh. And I got up and I'm having my coffee and looking at the paper and I'm reading the review of the Saturday Night Fever thing. And it says in the newspaper, and I generally don't believe reviews anyway.
Right.
But it says it's basically the worst play
right
ever.
Mm. There you
go. And I looked at Frida and I said, now being as this is my Father's Day,
obviously right. A musical.
Yeah, it's a musical, yeah, but right. but what they're saying is that it's like the worst musical ever. That even if you're a fan of Saturday Night right. Fever, and I am, great movie.
Yeah.
I like all the music. Basically, this review is saying, still, you're going to hate it.
So horribly done.
Awful. Worse than a high school production.
Wow.
So I said to her, remember the ABBA experience?
Right.
That we went to another one that I was sure I was going to love, and that got bad reviews in the paper.
Right.
And we walked out at halftime. Really? You know what a great Father's Day gift would be for me? Would be the fact that I don't have to put on, you know, regular pants and right. hard shoes right. and a shirt with buttons on it
yeah.
and go downtown and go to the show. The best Father's Day gift I could have would be for you to let me out of my commitment to go to this play.
Perfectly legitimate request.
And bingo! Request granted.
That's good. That's well. That she understands the spirit of Father's Day.
Very so nice. We did not have to go to the play. Instead, we went out to dinner and had a very nice, enjoyable meal.
That's a good thing.
The three of us. I wanted to show you the card that my wife made for me.
Okay.
It says to my sugar bear.
Mm-hmm.
I know being a father isn't the easiest job in the world, but it's been worth it all to raise the boy we're so proud of.
Mm-hmm.
Happy Father's Day to a great dad. I love you, Frida. And on the inside, where you know where it says, it's been worth it to have a boy we're proud of, it's a picture of my dog, Colonel Coyne.
Oh, man.
Wow. Kind of a diss to my son.
Yeah, a little bit of a diss.
I laughed.
Right.
I laughed.
Funny card.
It's been worth it to raise a boy that we're so very proud of.
Right, there
and
it is.
It's Colonel Clink with his shoe toy.
Sure.
Right there.
It's kind of speaking to dealing with the dog. That is too funny.
So, my son comes to me and he says, Dad, I have two gifts for you for Father's Day.
Mm-hmm.
I got a very nice card from him, a real nice card.
Good.
And one of the gifts I got was a picture that Frida had taken of him, which I'm going to put on the desk in our office.
Okay.
Which is really not getting used a lot much these days.
Sure.
But it is an actual picture of Bart sleeping.
That's fantastic. That's perfect.
Hold on. Don't press the button, Mike, because okay. It's got sounds. It's one of them talking pictures that Rudy was trying to sell us on a couple of years ago.
Is this what you see every morning?
Yes. That's actually great. My son sprawled out, dead to the world.
That's terrific.
On his mattress. He is
right.
Incidentally, he's taken away the... He's on his own, taking the bed frame out of the room.
Right.
Uh-huh. He just wants to sleep on just the mattresses.
Well, you know, why use furniture when you can sleep on the floor?
So there he is, and if you press the button, it speaks.
Ah.
So here's... Let me see if I can get
the recording.
Now.
I'm awake.
Was that a...
That was a fart.
A yeah. fart sound?
So again, this is my son.
I'm awake.
There you go. Really, that's pretty much how it goes in the morning.
Yeah. He gets the joke, doesn't he?
So, I get that gift. Oh, it's still going.
I'm awake.
Lovely gift.
So then he says, and Dad, the other gift that I have for you is a homemade gift.
Right.
And I'm thinking to myself, well, I'll take that. And he says, the gift is, I'm going to get a haircut.
Oh, wonderful.
Now, I'm thinking, this is a gift?
Yeah. A gift for you. You don't like the long hair, right?
A gift for me. I don't mind the fact that he's got long hair.
You just don't like the style of the long hair.
What I don't like is the fact that it goes down three quarters of the way over his eyes in the front.
Right, right.
And all I'm saying to him is, I don't care how long your hair is. I don't care anything. Just try to keep it out of your face a little bit.
Sure.
So when I'm speaking to you, I can see your eyes.
Right.
So the gift is a haircut.
Well, as it turns out, he's got stuff to do on Saturday. He goes out with his friends, and Frida and I are just puttering around the house and doing stuff around the house. And we're going to meet him at 7 o'clock for dinner.
And he showed up at 7 o'clock, and he came into the restaurant, real fancy restaurant.
Yeah. with just the hair from, you know, like a Marilyn Manson hair.
Uh-huh.
I mean, he didn't get it cut, and he had been out all day with his friends.
Right.
And it was long and oogie looking.
Unkempt.
And he puts this mousse crap in his hair. Now, I put the mousse in my hair, but I put it in my hair like the John Gotti, Pat Riley style.
Gotti Pro Formula 2000.
To slick it back. He puts the stuff in his hair to make it look oilier than it actually is.
So he didn't get his hair cut.
He did not get his hair cut.
Okay.
So dinner ended with him desperately trying to find, at about 9 o'clock on Saturday night, a hair cuttery that was open.
Did he succeed?
He did not succeed.
No.
He came home, so he left the restaurant to go try to get the haircut for Father's Day.
Right.
We got back home from dinner. He got back home. He didn't have the haircut. And then at that point, Frida said, well, that's fine. She would give him a haircut.
She's done that before.
And he, of course, he was petrified of this.
Right.
Absolutely petrified.
Balking at it.
And I couldn't blame him. I mean, I wouldn't want my mom to cut my hair at this point either. So the Father's Day gift, I guess I'll get when they get back from looking at college.
Whenever.
Whenever.
Good if luck. He's going to admissions departments, perhaps it would help if he got the hair.
Well, now, we've tried to tell him that.
Right.
We've tried to explain that to him, yet he, you know, I'm getting the whole thing. Where Dad, look at the pictures of you when you were in high school.
Yes, this is
Dad,
true.
Look at the, okay, so well, whatever. You know, so they get up early yesterday morning, and they're gone. They're out of here. And and they've got my car.
You think the same thing? I'm thinking they're gone. And then I'm picturing that music.
But they're gone, and they got my car.
Right.
They've got my car.
Hmm. Like your tank?
Yeah, they got my tank.
Oh. They took it. So what are you tooling around in?
Driving my wife's car.
Oh, really? But you were still happy when you woke up.
Oh, well, I woke up on the real Father's Day, Sunday, about 7 o'clock, and they're scurrying, and they're packing their bags,
right?
And I'm going through my car, and I'm getting my CDs out, and taking my sunglasses out, and taking all my stuff out, and getting it ready. And about 8:15 on Saturday morning, I'm standing on the front porch, just me and the dogs. Bye-bye. See ya. So long. Bye-bye. Come back soon.
Right.
And the last I heard from my wife, she was in, where is the University of Tennessee located? Is that at,
I think it's Knoxville.
Knoxville?
Knoxville, Tennessee.
That's where they are. She was not impressed with Knoxville, Tennessee.
Huh. Well, it's not the town as much as the school itself.
As a city, she was not impressed with it. And
Knoxville, Tennessee.
I guess from there, the itinerary will take them to a whole bunch of other places. So I got this day to myself yesterday.
How about that?
All by myself, but happily all by myself. Not the Eric Carmen all by myself. And I did the stuff that I like to do, which is, watch some porno.
Do very little.
Lay around. Mm-hmm. Didn't bathe.
Yeah.
Got to be about 3 o'clock, and I thought, well, you know what? Maybe I'll go play golf.
There you go.
I'll go play golf by myself. Because I figure that I get a tee time of 5:30.
Right.
It's Father's Day. Most guys with regular families are going to be with their families.
I would think 5:30, there'd be nobody on the golf course.
Not that my family's not regular, just this is the time that they have to go to visit these schools.
Right.
So I get out there. I get the 5:30 tee time. Ain't nobody on the course. It's a dead man's land.
Perfect. That's fantastic. That's great. It's great about this time of year, too. You get a longer day.
I will tell you that I played from the women's tees. Because I'm not good.
No, you just started. You're a beginner. It's a very smart thing to do to get through the course without without that much delay.
But for the first time, I actually kept score, and I had a great time because I didn't have the pressure of my wife sitting there.
You ought to do that as many times as you can because it's fantastic.
My son sitting there with the toothpick in his mouth, knowing that there was a group of four guys behind me waiting to play through.
That's the best thing you could do. You should do that all the time. You'll become a better golfer.
And I found out women have nice tees. Yeah, I played for the women's team.
Are the women, they have nice tees where you play? That's good.
Yes, and the score was 98.
That's good. Breaking 100. Not many golfers do that. That's fantastic.
Now, that is from the women's tee.
Right.
Okay, so keep in mind that, like, on one of these holes, If you play it from the man's tee,
yeah,
from where a man with D and B's shoots,
right?
It's like 179 yards,
okay,
to the pin,
right?
Where I was playing from is 119 yards to the pin.
There you go. That's all right, though.
So let me just
still have to get it up in the air and get it on the green.
I know that at some point I'm going to have to move back.
Sure.
And there's a system that I'm finding in golf where it's you have the women's tees, then behind them you have the seniors' tees.
Old tees, yeah, usually for the old men.
Then behind that you've got like...
regular men's tees.
Regular men's, and then behind that all the way in the very back, you got where you're...
Probably have one between that, yeah.
I think there's five levels.
Yeah, yeah, you got the ladies, then the senior men's, regular men's, the regular club tees, and then the pro tees, which
yeah,
are all the way.
Yeah, there's five different ones, and right now I'm all the way as close as I can possibly be.
But you just started, and I think that's smart. I mean, if you don't let your pride get in the way, you'll be better for it.
The only moment that I had was I was out there absolutely by myself. The girl was driving by in the booze truck. You know, they got the truck that comes by with booze and snacks.
You got hotties on the beverage cart? Or are they?
Yeah. Not the most beautiful woman in the world yesterday driving right around.
There ought to be some kind of an association, I've always thought.
Maybe, she stood there and waited, and I hit the tee shot, and she said, "Nice shot." I said, "Thanks." I said, "I'll take a water." And she said, "Did you realize you're playing from the woman's tee?"
Oh, no.
And I said, "Well, yes. Yeah,
right.
Yes, I do realize that."
That's nice of her to bring that up.
And I had to bite my tongue. Do you realize that my dog's ass is prettier than your face?
There you go.
Do you realize that you're in a dead-end job driving a cart around on a golf course, serving beer and wine and water at 5:30 on a Sunday?
But you're held back.
I didn't say it.
Was there a little bitterness in her when she did that? Was she kind of busting your chops a little bit?
No, I think that she thought I didn't know.
Oh, okay. All right.
And I said, no, I
not her job to do
I
that.
I did, you know, one, two, three, four, five, right, five different. I see that. I'm a beginner. Bye now.
Right.
That's why I actually stood there, just like I did at my front door when they were driving off to Tennessee.
Right.
I went, bye now.
Yeah, we have a slightly older person that occasionally runs the beverage cart at the place where I play.
Yeah. This wouldn't happen if there was an association.
Well, we have an older person, and, you know, I mean, it's like, could I have a Diet Coke?
A Diet Coke. A Diet Coke, please!
And then probably, what? Diet Coke?
Yes! Well, let me just see what's happening down at UT.
Very good.
And that's all I got this weekend for you.
That's all right,
other
though.
Other than that, beautiful. Just me and the dogs.
Quiet the way you like it.
Uneventful. And the work guys.
Oh, they were back.
The work guys who work nonstop. Hello?
Hey, I'm on a tour right now.
I was just checking in.
All right, Mr.
I was telling everybody that you hate Knoxville.
No. I have to reassess. I'm on the tour at UT, and it's really nice.
All right.
I judged too quickly last night. It was gloomy. We saw the ugly part of town.
So there's a nice part of Knoxville.
Yeah, so it looks much better in the bright sunshine, and the tour is fun. Yeah, we really like it now.
All right, honey.
Okay, good.
Hey,
it's an awkward moment.
Hey, listen to this. Hold on. I'm playing this on the air right now.
I'm awake.
I'm just recapping the Father's Day.
Oh, good. All right, I gotta go. I'm in the dorm room now. I gotta go.
In a dorm room. Honey, remember our motto. Think cheap. Think cheap, okay?
This is good. This is inexpensive, and we like it a lot better.
Is it expensive?
Yeah.
All right, it might be one of our first choices.
There you go.
Okay. All right. Bye, honey.
Bye.
Bye-bye. So there she feel the urgency that she was on the tour with one of the college students, probably.
On the tour.
The tour.
God damn.
The grand tour.
You know, I said to my kid, one boy we were talking on Saturday, I said, why do we got to go to all these tours? You know, I'm basically, it's because he wants to. And because he wants, and what kid wouldn't want to? You drive around, you go to these schools. Really, and I can't speak to it because I didn't go to college myself.
If he was a ball player, he'd get some real good tour.
Oh yeah. I'm thinking if I was in my kid's situation, uh-huh, and he's got decent grades and outstanding SAT scores, uh-huh, he he could like narrow it down to four or five schools that he wants to. But no, instead it's going to be over the summer. It's going to be a countrywide tour where right now they're handling the southern part of the United States.
Right.
I believe during our vacation, if you can call it that.
Yes.
They'll be covering the eastern part of the United States.
New England, maybe, and things like that.
And then after that, it'll be out to the West Coast,
Berkeley, and all those places.
Maybe to the East Coast. Yeah. Oh, and about our vacation.
And the Hoosier State.
I want to tell you something about that. That we've been off. Well, we were off because of management, and you know all that. And we have our annual 2-week summer vacation coming next week.
Next week.
And I want to tell you something that we've decided to do. Okay.
Right.
What we've decided to do is we're going to take next week off because, God damn it. We've been through a lot, and we need a vacation.
Lest anyone think that when we were off before, that was a vacation. It was not, unfortunately.
However, what we're going to do is, on the second week of vacation, we're going to cancel that, and we're going to come back, and we're going to be here on July 1st, 2nd, and 3rd.
So while you're driving out to wherever you're going for your vacations, we'll have some new shows for you.
I said that we're allowed to take 2 weeks off. Technically, we could take off from next Monday till 2 weeks from Monday, which I think would be July 8th.
Right. It's usually our big, long summer vacation.
But we know that you guys have kind of been screwed with getting your new shows.
Right.
So what we're going to do is we're going to take a week off, recharge a little bit, come back, and give you new shows on our dime, mm-hmm. on our vacation time, on Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. And then if you would kindly allow us to enjoy
the 4th of July holiday.
The 4th of July and the 5th of July.
Yes.
As the rest of America will.
We thought it was important to come back and do those three shows in between because we have had a lot of downtime. Not by our choice, unfortunately, but that's the way it's gone. So that's what we're going to do. And I'm glad we're doing that.
Not me, though.
And Buzz won't be joining us because Buzz is scheduled as usual. You know,
Buzz is having another surgery.
It's summer, and we all know what that means.
Right. There's some things you can always count on around the 4th of July. You count on a Will Smith movie coming out.
Right.
You count on a Tom Cruise movie coming out.
Rob.
What?
Rob, I don't think he's having a facelift. I don't think. Rob was looking at me and lifting his eyebrows up. He's not doing
it. If it's the 4th of July, you can count on Buzz going in for some kind of medical procedure.
That's right. Little surgery.
Is this elective surgery?
I've elected to have it over this 4th of July holiday, but I really need to have it. It's medically necessary. So.
Okay.
Good luck.
Thank you.
Are you going to new doctors now?
Yes, new
not
doctors.
Not those people that use can openers before?
No, I've stopped using them.
Right. Good.
And, come back looking like Melissa Rivers. We're going to know what's up.
That's good. But I will look better.
So that's that. I wanted to get that out. And everybody hates hearing about vacation time and stuff. But we'll just tell you up front that that's it. We got 2 weeks. We're not going to take the 2 weeks. We're going to come back.
Excellent.
Because,
because you care.
We do care. We do care about the people that listen to the show.
It's been a rough month for our listeners as well as us.
Yeah. So that is the Father's Day thing. I guess we'll hear from Frida and Bart as they continue their travels across the country. Sure. And I know that Mike had a Father's Day weekend as well. And we will get to that after the break.
Why isn't he smiling?
Well,
I've got a bit of a story to tell.
I'm looking forward to that.
About my Saturday. I hope I get invited to go on this boat again with my friend John.
But remember the boat trip?
The boat trip I was so excited about.
The cards and everything sounded like fun.
It was. It was a great day until towards the end.
All right, well, now let's clear out the phones. Get a call 100.
More definitive proof that I am an ass.
877-365-3630.
I am an overweight, silly ass.
The jackpot for the celebrity burp is now down to $500.
Ah.
Which means we're getting down near giving away the money time.
Yeah, it's clue time.
So I think I'm going to give you another clue today.
Very good.
I have that for you.
Is the clue silly ass?
The clue is not silly ass, Mike. Right. It is a bona fide clue.
Paralyzing embarrassment.
That we will have for you when we come back from the break. And girls, still working on that strip trivia. You've been real good thus far.
Is the clue Mike is a Nimrod?
We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
And you can get news, weather, and the latest news and weather on Fox 5 News at noon. And we'll see you again tomorrow. Do drive safely.
All right. Hang on. I can't get it. Here it comes. Hey, shake it, shake it, shake it. Yeah!
shoes having sex.
God loves the Don and Mike Show.
Oh, he do, he do. God do love the Don and Mike Show. Listen, we're going to do the Caller 100 here. And we're going to leave the lines open for Strip Trivia. I want to tell you something else we have happening on the show this week.
Very exciting.
Yeah, it's going to take me just a second to explain it to you. The good people at Hotwire.com, one of our best sponsors.
They're great.
They're giving us, to give to you, for the 4th of July, $1,000 in free travel.
Fantastic.
Anywhere in America.
Cool.
And $2,500 in cash.
Very exciting.
We're going to make this contest very simple. Here's what you do. Looking for a better travel deal? Log into Hotwire for deep discounts on flights, hotel rooms, and rental cars. Hotwire partners with quality travel companies to bring you amazing deals you can't find anywhere else. So log on to Hotwire today to see how much you can save on your next trip. Here's what you do. You go on your computer and you pick where you'd like to go.
All right.
With $1,000 travel from Hotwire.
Right.
You get the location and you print it out. Then you fax it to us at 800-636-6410. This is actually pretty simple.
Okay.
You go to your computer, go to hotwire.com, and you simply type in the location you'd like to fly to.
And then you print it out and you fax it to us.
And you fax it to us.
There you go.
On Thursday, we're just going to start picking faxes at random.
Yeah, we're going to have drawings. We're going to pick them out, and you might win that trip to wherever you're going.
Wow. The deal's going to be on Thursday. We're just going to pick them at random and call people up. And if you answer your phone on Thursday by saying, Don and Mike, you have your permission. You have my permission to put your voice, my voice on the air.
Right.
You win.
Beautiful.
That's how simple it is.
That's how easy it is. So make sure when you send us your little printout with your fare, wherever you're going in the country, you put your phone number and your name also on there. So we have your name and your phone number. We can reach you and then be listening on Thursday, and you might win a trip wherever you're going in the United States.
$1,000 worth of travel, and
that gets you pretty far on Hotwire also.
And $2,500 in cash.
Man.
And I was on Hotwire.com last night.
Right.
Just in case you're curious, you can make it to Hawaii and back. You can make
on
it.
On the grand?
On the $1,000.
Excellent. Wow.
You can make it to Honolulu and back on the $1,000.
Very good.
Nice. I mean, that's where I'd go.
Mm-hmm.
That's just me.
Honolulu.
So anyway, that's hotwire.com, and our fax number is 800-636-6410. The last thing I forgot to tell you about over the weekend, and I guess I'll discuss it tomorrow when he calls in, is last night I got a call from my brother.
Right, Jimmy.
And as you know, we're adopted.
Right.
We know not where we came from.
Uh-huh.
Neither one of us knows.
Right.
Our real parents. I've theorized that my real dad is John Gotti, but I have no actual proof.
Okay.
Well, my brother, through some resources, has discovered who his natural father is. And last night, he was going to call the guy. The guy does not know that he fathered my brother.
Oh, wow. Well, that's a sticky wicket.
So my brother called me last night for some advice, because mainly he wants to know, like I would like to know, which I've come to terms with the fact that I'm not going to know about my past.
Right.
I'm not going to know my heritage, what part of the world I'm originally from and all that stuff. My brother has the opportunity to do this.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to call the guy, or he was going to call the guy last night at West Coast time, 9 o'clock, meeting midnight on the East Coast.
Right.
Mm-hmm. He's going to call the guy up and just say out of the blue, hi, my name is James Source.
Wow.
And I'm your son.
Wow.
I have proof that I'm your son. I don't want anything from you.
I just wanted to make contact.
And I just want to know a little bit about my background.
Okay.
So wonderful. That was a kind of a bombshell from the Jimster.
That's for sure. Yeah,
I guess
that's
we'll
a big one.
We'll hear about that on tomorrow's episode as well. Now let's get a call 100 and $500, and I'll give you a fresh clue as well. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Yes, I am caller 100.
Yes, you are. And what's your name, a friend?
My name is Rusty.
Rusty, where are you from?
Lake Charles, Louisiana.
Rusty.
Down in Lake Charles, Louisiana, share.
Rusty, here you go. You got the Blockbuster Game Freedom Pass. That means you can go to Blockbuster and get a video game every day for a month. And you have five free DVD rentals, courtesy of Blockbuster.
Killer.
Yeah.
Killer.
Good prize. We do love our Blockbuster video. We thank them very much. Now, you're going to get a real clue today. Now that the other clues haven't been real.
Now, what are we playing for? $500?
$500 for the celebrity burp.
You going to give us another clue?
So far, the clues have been a man's man, a real man.
Mane of hair.
Mane of hair. Mm-hmm. A long hair.
Long hair.
Now, here's your new clue.
All right.
He's a rocker.
Okay.
He's a rocker.
Well, now you've really narrowed it down.
He's a rocker.
A rocker.
He's a rocker. Good luck. Please don't answer until Mike sings like
Kevin Meaney.
We go.
Caller, name this celebrity burp.
That's a weird thing.
Well, you got me off the burp with the Kevin Meaney.
It's a different kind of day for me today.
It's really, Kevin Meaney's a rocker.
Right.
So, you know, I mean, take into that as you will.
I don't care. I don't care. I don't care.
Yeah. For $500, who is that?
It has to be John Bon Jovi.
John Bon Jovi. He's a rocker, but that's incorrect.
Oh, we're sorry.
Good guess, though, and don't forget that every guest
is a clue for you.
For you. Now, last item, before we hear about Mike's Father's Day weekend. Mm-hmm. Girls, we are playing strip trivia on Wednesday.
Mm-hmm.
We are giving away a trip to Hollywood to see Poison.
Hollywood!
At a VH1 concert. And then to go to an exclusive, and this is no BS when we say exclusive party. It's not an exclusive party with listeners from radio stations all over the country. It's an exclusive party with Poison with two outsiders.
Yeah, wow. Very exciting. It's the after tour party. It's a big one, and we want serious women only that are going to play strip trivia.
They're the winners of this contest. You're going to go to a party with Poison, which means you'll probably be effed silly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I got it. One of the guys in the band.
Sure, who doesn't want to go to Hollywood and all you have to do is come down and play strip trivia, and we want serious participants only.
Serious women. We have four thus far. It's like Jesus Christ. Strip trivia has resurrected itself.
We're going to overbook. That means we want to get five women. We will book 50.
So, phone number 877-365-3636.
If all 50 show up, you'll all play.
202-432-1067. Please, only serious women. For strip trivia, you got to be here at WJFK Wednesday morning at 11 o'clock.
Very good.
And you can play, incidentally, if you want to drive down, as one woman has said she will, from Baltimore,
mm-hmm.
That's fine. You want to drive to D.C. from Philly, also great. Call, that's it. We're not doing the hard sell. We're not begging. We're not playing the music. We're not doing it. Just, if it happens, it happens.
Right.
We love for strip trivia to return.
Yeah.
Now,
we want you.
Father's Day weekend.
No, don't put it that way, please. Don't call it a Father's Day weekend.
But it was.
It's too, you know, Father's Day was Sunday. Unlike your family, we don't use the whole weekend. You see, I'm separated. Sunday was Father's Day. So the weekend was one thing. But let me make very, very clear. It is extremely important for me to separate Saturday from Sunday.
Okay.
Because Saturday was, they had nothing to do with Father's Day.
All right.
Had things to do with embarrassing moments.
All right, let's hear. We're ready.
You know how I was looking forward to this. Like a little kid looks forward to something.
The boat trip, the where you stop at various ports.
You start, I want to thank, I mentioned a lot of names today because I got it. Because they're involved in this and they were all witnesses to this thing that happened to me. Okay. And I want to thank John, his girlfriend Jen. I want to thank Scott, otherwise known as Ranger, real nice guy. I want to thank Mike and his girlfriend Diana. And I want to thank the other Mike that drove the boat. And I think I've mentioned everybody. These are principal players that were on this boat all day. This day I was looking forward to, as I mentioned on Friday, this was called a poker run. Stops at this little restaurant on the Potomac River.
I'm sorry.
Yes. Do we have a strip trivia girl?
No. I'm just pissed off looking at all the lines ringing and nobody answering the goddamned telephone.
Answer the phone. All right, so this thing starts off. This thing's...
What's the number back there?
467.
Wrong area code.
Donna.
Oh, come on.
Hello?
Yeah, when it rings, answer.
I am answering.
things on.
I know you weren't. Goodbye.
Sorry. All right. So anyway, it starts at this little restaurant called Tim's River Shore, which I mentioned, and I know the guy that runs this. Couldn't be nicer. They were the whole day was great. It started out. It was one of the most. It was so. The day started so much better for me than it ended. I will tell you, I was so excited. All these boats, it seemed like hundreds of boats, leave simultaneously from this this marina, this restaurant place, and they had a helicopter above with a camera taking pictures. I don't know whether they were doing it for the event or they were doing it for the news or whatever, but there was this camera man up in a helicopter.
I don't think it was for the news.
And these, but well, not in this town. We were talking about that. You know, if it was out in L.A., it would have been the lead story, but right. not around here. You have hundreds of these boats take off simultaneously. It was pretty impressive to see. We were a big boat, kind of like a cruiser boat, so we weren't one of these speed boats. So it was just really, really cool. We spent the day, and you know what it was for me? It was just a day of going to one place, drinking, going to the next place, having a cocktail or two, having a little lunch, having a little dinner, and, you know, I was really excited about it.
I know you were.
It was so much fun. At one point, I'm piloting the boat, and I think...
great.
Well, you know, during the day, I'm saying to John, who is also my landlord in the new place I live, which is, you know, makes this even worse, I'm saying to him how I was raised on the water, and how I know how to behave on a boat, and how I know all this about boat. You know, boating is my life, you know, some people are irresponsible on boats, but I'm not. I mean, I think I'd said things like this to him at one time or another on the boat. And, you know, we go down there, and I'm meeting lots of people, and you know how it's kind of cool for us right now to bump into people that are fans of the show because we're able to vent a little bit, you know, and it's, you know, so I was enjoying that, and I really could not have met a nicer bunch of people. Everybody's being really cool. You know, I'm getting just enough ego gratification where it's cool, and then we'd hop back on the boat, and, you know, I'm... Fantastic. And this one guy catches up to us in a jet ski, which was really funny because he was behind. He was late leaving D.C., this guy Mike, and he caught us on a jet ski. So at that point, we start towing this jet ski. So the day ends. It starts out. I mean, I'm on this boat at 8:45 in the morning, and we kind of start celebrating at 8:45. And, yes, do we have one?
Yes, we do. Hello, Donna Mike.
Hi, how are you?
Are you a vindictive, two-faced, not-to-be-trusted bitch?
Yes.
Well, then why are you calling?
Because I want to do the trivia.
Yeah, but I mean, Don just said, are you honest? Are you going to play the game?
Oh, yeah.
Really?
Definitely. I've already played.
Okay.
Oh, you've already played.
Who's the celebrity you most resemble?
Sandra Bullock.
A return contestant.
Looking forward to it.
What's your name?
Colette.
All right, Colette. If you already played, then that's fine. We'll accept a return player. Mm-hmm. Thank you very much. See you Wednesday.
All right.
That makes five.
Five.
Well,
we only need 45 more.
Let me just say I'm very, very proud of our crew back there for answering that phone.
Good job.
Thank you. A job well done.
Run excellent job.
Sorry, Mike. So you're in.
No, I know we stopped for a strip trivia. So the day is, it starts out at 10 o'clock in the morning. All these boats leave. We're going from one place to the next. And I would say maybe 2:30-ish would be the last time I'm really aware of like really time, watch checking time. You know, I just know we're on the boat. I left my cell phone at home. I am free as a bird, enjoying life. You know, I'm not with anybody except these pals and their girlfriends, and it's just cool. It's just fine with me. I'm not looking for anything other than just to sit on this boat and enjoy myself and have fun. And so at the very end of the day, we stop at the last port. I'm not sure even where it was because I don't know the river that well, and I don't know these different marinas. So we head out, and we're towing this jet ski. Now, I'm not responsible for the first thing that happened. I don't think anybody really is. But I was the one that was sitting on the back of the boat, kind of looking out the stern at this jet ski. And we're going about, on this big 44-foot boat, we're going at about 30 knots. We're going very fast on the water.
Is that miles?
And that's about 25 miles an hour. Okay. We're going, you know, for that size boat, it's big. And I'm watching this jet ski. And I'm just watching it. And this big jet ski is kind of going back and forth on the wake of this boat. We're towing it really fast. And then it starts bouncing a little bit. Then it bounces a little bit more, bounces a little bit more. And all of a sudden, it bounces straight up in the air, flips over, and goes, boom! And this tow line snaps. And this carnage and all that. And at this point, I'm just standing there, and I go, whoa, and we try to yell, you know, and I'm not responsible, but I was the one that was back there watching it, so we stopped, they kind of...
put the fiberglass piece back that's blasted off in the water when it turned around. And I'm just standing there kind of useless as these young 20-something. I mean, this one guy's a former ranger, you know, in the army. And so
right.
He dives in and there's, you know, the wind and the current and stuff. And he's having a little trouble getting to the jet ski. And these other two guys get on and they help to, you know, tie together John and this guy, Mike. And I'm just sitting there going, you know, just being really, I felt really completely and totally useless. But that was okay. They got it fixed. They towed it again. We start towing it, and we finally get back to the original place, this place, Tim's, and that's where you get your poker hand, and they let you know out of all these boats who wins the day.
Because the deal is...
Fascinating concept. Really kind of fun. I can't think of anything more fun.
The deal is you get this boat...
You go from marina to marina, I mean, port of call to port of call, and at each stop...
You're given a card.
You're given a card. Every boat is given a card, and then at the end of the day, the winning hand wins, I guess, something like $5,000.
Wow.
So it's a big day, and all the boats are back in. So by the time we get back in, we have to take a little water taxi into into this restaurant, and that's when the real celebrating begins, and we're there all afternoon, and things are going. And I'm doing things like, apparently these waitresses and stuff all listen to the show. They're very big fans of ours. So I'm signing a few t-shirts, and at one point, I get one of the Tim's t-shirts, and I put it on, and one of the waitresses says, "Do you want your t-shirt?" I said, "Here, take my t-shirt. It's just fun, and we're having a great time," and I'm feeling a little bit of that Star Trip, just enough to be fun, you know, where I'm kind of going, "Yeah, hey, how you doing?" And I'm partying, and everything's going great.
Oh,
and then the day, it's about time to take the boat back into the marina, and the day is over. I'm not sure what time it is. I would say probably 8:30, 9:30. It's when the sun is just starting to go down.
Okay, probably about 8:30.
So I head back out to the boat with everybody. At this point, there are some new faces on the boat that John, the owner, doesn't know that well. And it's like, well, who's on the boat? But that's the way it kind of happens. People start celebrating, and there were some people on the boat. And I go back to this boat, and now bear with me here, because details are just a little tough for me to, a little hazy, you know, just a little hazy. Let me suffice to say that there's this girl, Jen, and this girl, Diana, and they're up on the bow of this boat, and they're hanging out, and they have bikinis, and I decide that I will go up, you know, much like the 20-somethings, and try to make conversation and go up there and stand on the bow where all the younger people are on the bow. I said, "I'll, you know," but I will also say I am not nearly as cat-like with my reflexes as I used to be. And there's been a day of revelry. And so I go up to the front of this boat and I stand on the front of the boat, and I'm chatting. And then for one reason, they said, I'll go and sit down. Either they said, "Hey, come on, sit down over here," or I'll go over and sit down. And I'm like, you know, and I'm just, I'm feeling great. It's Johnny Cool, just feeling like really good about himself. "Hey, how are you? How's everything going?" And I make my way around back of this, this little sunning pad that they have.
Right.
And
it's on the front of the boat, right?
It's on the front of the boat. At this point, there may be 12, 15 people on the boat. And I said, "I'll just sit down behind this sunning pad." As I begin to sit down, as I put my butt down, I hear what would be the equivalent of a double-barrel shotgun going off. And then I hear this explosion of glass.
Oh, sorry.
And I have put...
I'm not quite sure exactly what sound effect to play here.
I have not noticed that where I chose to sit, there was a hydraulic hatch that's about, you know, about 2 feet by 2 feet. That opened this glass hatch in the center of this extraordinarily expensive boat.
I got you. So, like, if you're down,
I can't tell you where it was because I sure didn't see it.
If you're below deck, it's like a window that
it's like this thing that opens up that goes. Zzz, you know, it's attached to this hydraulic thing, and it opens up like this. And I sat down, and it exploded in shards of glass everywhere on the front of this boat. And I look at John, who could not have been nicer about it. Could not have been classier about it, but you know, I know how I would feel if, you know, here is my big suave fat ass sitting down and I look up and there are 12 people staring at me as I am sitting here going, hi. And glass all over the front of this boat.
Oh.
Apparently, I sat down thinking there was going to be like fiberglass and it was just a glass hatch that had been opened.
And at this point, I'm so embarrassed. I turn around and I start, you know, you start fumbling, you know. It's like Jackie Kennedy when she's trying to retrieve the president on the back of the limo.
Trying to put his brains back into his head.
I'm sitting there, you know, just scouring for glass. And this very nice John's girlfriend, Jen, says, you know, be careful, don't cut yourself. And then at that point says, she looks at me and says, where is that blood coming from?
Oh,
and
oh my.
And I look down and I'm trying to see, and I see, you know, not only have I ruined the boat by shattering the glass on this 44-foot mega yacht, but I have also, I'm beginning to drip blood. And she said, as she's, you know, she's very nice, but she says to me as nicely as she can, I think you may be bleeding from the ass. And I look around.
Certainly not the first time you've heard that.
I look around and I don't see where I'm bleeding, but I see the droplets of blood, which are really making the white boat look very, very nice as it's beginning to smear around. And so now I'm picking up the shards of glass. I am so, I've been embarrassed before, but I don't think I've been embarrassed this much in a long, long time.
Yeah.
And at this point, we're picking it up, and not only to make matters worse, I'm like, well, they're all using like these shirts to pick it up, and I said, well, I can't leave my t-shirt on. So Fat Man takes his t-shirt off with my mitts hanging out, you know, as
your big man boobs.
As I'm sitting there trying to get the glass, we determined that I'll show you. We determined that it was just a minor cut.
Uh-huh.
That this was the part of my leg. So it was nothing to speak of.
So but you weren't bleeding from the ass.
Well, at the time, it was bleeding like an arterial bleed. I thought that maybe it had gone deep. And I reached down, and, you know, as you're on all fours, of course, your hand will occasionally come down on the and everybody was cutting their hands. So, that, I mean, to make it a little bit worse, everybody was cutting their hands as they're trying to pick up the glass. And then when we finally got all the glass cleaned up, you know, everything's been thrown away, shirts, T-shirts, the glass, and it's a real dilemma. We are told as the boat takes off out of the harbor that we're all going to have to close our eyes so that the shards of glass that are all over the bow of this boat, this 44-foot mega boat,
don't blow in your eyes.
Don't blow in your eyes. Right. And I go to the back of the boat and I just sit down and I'm not even able to talk to anybody. I am so, and then we're halfway back there, and you know, John, you know, he could have been nicer, but you know, and you feel like a little kid who's done wrong, and he calls me up to the front. He goes, hey, listen, you know, it's a thing. These kind of things happen. You know, this can be repaired. And, you know, I mean, I think even a remotely less cool person, I would have felt like, it's the rule now, though, for me will be I will never go on the bow of the boat anymore. Because it's just, you know, it's tough for me to move around. You know, I mean, it's just so goddamn embarrassing.
Mike, you want to say hello to Little Meg? Do you know who Little Meg is?
No, I don't. No.
She saw you on Saturday night.
Oh, good. Okay.
Little Meg?
Hi, Little Meg.
Hi, guys.
Hi.
You weren't on the boat, were you?
No, I got your shirt.
Oh, you got, are you the, oh, Little Megan.
Yeah, I'm the bartender.
You're the bartender. Yeah, now I know who you are. Yeah, you got the shirt when I switched to the Tim's shirt.
Yes, and we're going to let you know
that
we will get you a new shirt since you ripped yours.
Well, God bless you. Thank you very much. I had a great time down there. That was,
did you hear about Mike breaking the boat later?
Yeah, I just heard.
Yeah, you just heard, because this was, Megan would have been one of the last people that I saw before we went back.
Oh, I got you.
And before the incident, because the day ended, well, of course, it didn't totally end.
Yeah.
Yeah, we did go back to Harbor, and there is that restaurant next door, so the day continued.
You mean even after you sat on the
after I shattered the glass, we got the boat back into harbor.
And you must have had blood all over your pants.
No, I had shorts. I was wearing shorts, and I kneeled on a paper towel and was able to stop the bleeding. And then I got a little cut, in my hand that was not an arterial bleed. Wow. So we were able to, and everybody was you know, there were some people that were, I think, even oblivious to some of the stuff. The boat's so big that some of the people weren't aware that I had done it.
That's so it was good. Just what, a tourniquet, then off to dinner?
Tourniquet, off to the bar. You know, we got back into the harbor.
Bar again.
Yeah, back to the bar again. And, you know, went off there and had much revelry and much friend fun. And it ended up in the wee hours of the morning where I went below and like slept on a couch.
You slept on the boat?
Well, because, you know, remember I talked about the cabin? You know, I didn't have any rights to the cabin at that point. The cabin was taken by somebody else. I'm not sure exactly who. All I know is I went down below and I saw feet. I think it was Mike. I think it was John's friend Mike who was sleeping down there. So I slept in the little parlor area out there, and, you know, as the air conditioning was on. So I woke up like at 3 o'clock in the morning. cold. I think 7 o'clock in the morning. I don't know. Time, you know, time goes a little crazy. But Megan was one of the bartenders there that was very, very, very nice. And we had many, many good people and good times. But I am, after I'd made such a big deal about, I'm raised out of the water. I know what I'm doing. I captain. I sailor. Jesus Christ. This thing goes like that. And shattered. I mean, just exploded.
Yeah.
But we're not talking about any other. I said I paid for it, and God knows what the repair is going to be. It's one of those custom glass things, you know, that has to be, like, made within the part. I'm sure the whole part will have to be replaced or something like that.
And I know you've got the cash on hand to pay for that.
Yeah, right. I mean, you know, for the first time, it's like I'm sitting there going, oh, God, please don't be too much of a repair. He'll just add it to the rent. And he's my landlord, too.
Right.
So I'm breaking my landlord's bone. But they couldn't have been nicer. I mean, and then, but in the morning, he gets up first, and I hear him walk by from his cabin up there, and I hear him walk by. So I get up, and I walk out onto this boat, and I'm like one of the last people, and I look at, like, the residue from the evening's festivities, and the boat just, the back of the boat looks like somebody's wiped themselves with it.
Yeah.
You know, it's just, I mean, so I start cleaning up, and it's like, good morning. I'm like,
good morning.
He said, hey, how you doing? I said,
I want to say I'm once again sorry about last night.
And, you know, I'm picking up the different glasses, the beer cups, and going like that. And I said, you know, the first thing before, he went apparently around to where he had the jet ski to inspect the damage on that. I mean, the guy had a bad day, and none of it was his fault. And so I get up, and I look through the hatch and see the still little leftover shards of glass that are attached to the hydraulic lift on this thing. And I'm looking at this at 7 o'clock in the morning just going, wow.
Wow, you look at that.
And then he comes back on the boat. I'm like,
good morning, John.
And he's like, hey, good morning, Mike. How you doing? And I'm like,
fine. Thank you again for yesterday.
Did you have a good time?
Oh, I had a good time. I'm really, really sorry, sir.
Hey, don't worry about it.
Thank you for understanding.
And you know, meanwhile, I'm taking, like, cans and, you know, trying to smear the footprints, the sooty footprints on the back of this white
boat. I'm guessing you brought no dop kit that you've not brushed your teeth or...
No, I brought a hairbrush. I haven't, you know, I'm basically getting ready to go, you know, just straighten myself out, put a hat on, go to my car and go back to his house that I'm renting. and just trying to get myself together. And so he's, you know, obviously he's still putting up the good front. But, you know, the morning after something like that, you look and, you know, you look at your incredibly expensive boat that has been partially damaged by, you know, by me sitting where I sit and sat. And you look at your jet ski because that flipped over, you know, at 30 miles an hour and kind of partially exploded too. And then I'm, you know, I'm trying to make the best of it by just going,
I really had a good time. I'm going to be going now.
That helps.
Thank you. Thank you for showing me a very good time, John.
It's like, yeah, all right, take care of yourself. You know.
Thank you. I'd like to come back.
I said, one of the things I said was, yeah, hey, the new rule for me will be, you know, once again, trying to invite myself again on the boat.
Yeah.
The new rule for me is I'll sit back here and I won't go on that bow again. He's like, yeah.
All right, I'm not invited again.
Yeah, like you're going to be invited.
So it was, you know, it was, well, I think I may, but it was very, very, very frustrating. Because, and immediately it's like, you know, you have this big poster on yourself that says MOOC.
Yeah.
You know, and God, did it explode, too. And but fortunately... yeah, I sat on it as I was pouring myself another drink.
We do have a tape of you. You know, you went up to talk to the young people.
Yes. The I went up to talk to the young people on the bow of the boat. Is this what it sounded like?
This is your conversation.
Oh, this is the conversation. Let's hear it.
I'm mad. I am mad enough, and yet still very self-conscious that I'm going to write a book and I'm going to talk. I wanted to believe, and I tried my damnedest to believe in the rainbow, that I tried to get over it, and I couldn't. So what?
Oh, God.
Okay.
So I recovered, and then my Sunday was saved by my wife and my two kids.
Okay.
Took me out for Father's Day. Even with the current situation, we had a wonderful time.
That is nice.
It was terrific. I got this lovely little shirt for Father's Day. I got two golf shirts for Father's Day. My wife treated for dinner. It was fantastic.
Well.
It was I needed that desperately at the end of the day, and I got it, and so it was A-OK. But I woke up.
Dinner and stitches.
burnt stitches. And I woke up actually in the middle of the night last night still feeling a little hanky about that because I just don't.
Yeah.
You know, when you get to be my age, you don't like to pull crap like that. You leave that for other people. And it's just like, you know, the whole, one of my whole things I'm focused. Hey, I'm just irresponsible. Let me see what it is here. Yeah, oh, look at that. You know, and I did probably more. I know I'm the record holder for doing damage.
Wow. Hello, Donna Mike Show.
Hey, Donna Mike, Sonny Roast Beef, how you doing?
Hey, Sonny Roast Beef.
Yeah, I wanted to ask Mike, as soon as you got home and you realized that you might not have friends no more, were you playing Wendell Hall's Empty Chamber all by your lonesome self?
I was pretty close to it, but I was unfortunately too tired to really dwell on it. My depression hit me after my family left last night. That's when I really started recapping the day's activities, and that's when I got a little bit. And I still, the jury's out. I'm not sure. You know, the nice thing is, I'll be able to hopefully pay for the damages. On an installment plan. You know, a boat like that. I know enough about boats to know that this is not one of your. It's not one of your put a pane of glass back in thing because it's attached. God damn!
Here's Rodney.
This hydraulic thing.
The guy who's a bartender for you at a restaurant.
Oh God,
Rodney.
Yeah, how you guys doing?
Were you really Mike's bartender?
Yeah, when he came back to Gecko's after he left Tim's.
Ah, yes, that's right. Yeah,
walked in and I was introduced to him immediately, and I was like, "Oh my God, great to meet you."
Are you the guy with the beard?
That's me, yes.
Okay, yeah, kind of a big guy with a goatee beard, right?
Correct, yeah. I was giving you grief about not playing golf, and then you said, well, if I'd been playing golf, I wouldn't have broke my buddy's boat.
Yeah, that's right.
I just want to say, even with the ass injury, I was impressed because you were still macking on the chicks when you came up. You know, giving the lines and everything.
There you go. I'm still trying.
A definite trooper just inspired me to listen to the show more often.
God bless you, sir. Thank you. And how about me for remembering what this guy looked like at that?
I'm deeply impressed.
That would have been like 10:30, 11 o'clock at night, right?
At least,
scale of 1 to 10 at that point, how gone was Mike? How drunk did he appear to be?
Being the professional bartender that I am, I would say Mike was probably only maybe a 7 or 8, but I think when he left, he was probably a 12.
You're talking about a professional.
That's right, you're talking about
my level, even though I'd lost my motor functioning at about 3 in the afternoon, this would have been 10, 11 o'clock at night, and I still, you never can really, you know me.
Yeah, I know.
You can never really tell with me.
Everybody was impressed there when you were down there, so it was nice to have you down there.
Thank you very much, sir.
Appreciate you guys.
See you later.
You know, you can never, that's part of the problem. You can never, when you're real suave and stuff, it's like, hey, let me sit here.
Hello, Donna Funny Show.
Duh.
Hello.
Yes, I was wondering which one of the three stooges Mike is. Is he Curly or Shemp?
Shemp.
Yeah, he's Shemp.
Yeah, I'm so embarrassed that I'm going to take Shemp.
He's Shemp.
I'm going to be Shemp. And because Shemp was always like, I was really Shemp Sunday morning at 7 o'clock when I said goodbye to my friend John. I'm like, thank you for having me.
All right, we got a break.
All right.
Thank you, and we'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Hamilton, come over here. What are you doing?
I'm changing.
But you took off your Captain Hook uniform.
Well, I thought I'd put my street clothes on for the drive over to IBM. The uniform's kind of uncomfortable.
Hamilton, you're going over there as a representative of Captain Hook Fish and Chips. Part of our image, part of our appeal is that uniform. You know that.
You really want me to put this stuff back on?
Yes, I do. Show a little pride.
Really, sir.
Aye, aye, sir. Oh, that's my point to say.
Yeah.
Salute some of the fine stations carrying the show right now.
All right.
KQPZ FM Seattle. WXXX FM New Orleans. KUFO Portland. KJRB Spokane. WJFK Baltimore. QYSB FM Philadelphia. WJFK FM Washington. And still WNEW New York.
Don and Mike Show.
You figure that New York thing out on your own.
And you can call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-265-3636. From D.C. on WJFK 202-432-1067. And from New York City on WNEW 877-692-1027. They're ready to believe you.
Uh-oh. Sounds like somebody's got a case of the mundane.
Right.
Don't listen if you're fuzzless behind the zipper. The Don and Mike Show.
Remember the nutty guy from Salt Lake City with the website?
Yeah, the guy that's got all the rants, right?
Yeah, he's coming on the next break.
Excellent.
Yeah,
then
some of our listeners indicated he may be a serial killer.
Well, Buzz and I are standing behind him.
Well, you are.
I'm not sure about the guy.
I don't think he's a serial killer.
We'll find out.
We'll have him on the air in the next break.
Very good.
There. Donna Mike Show. Hi.
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 Hello?
Yes.
Well, I would like to enter the strip trivia. How about that?
Yeah. Oh, well, how about that?
How about that? Let me ask you, are you trustworthy?
Very trustworthy.
You two-faced conniving?
I'm sorry?
Are you a two-faced conniving bitch?
That's what my husband says my middle name is.
Well, but what we're trying to tell you is, are you really committing to play strip trivia on Wednesday? Will you be here?
I will be there.
At 11 o'clock sharp, no later than 11 a.m.?
How about 10:30?
There you go.
Even better.
Well, what's
my husband has dared me to do this. So I will do it.
I like it when the husband.
Prove him wrong.
I like it when the husbands get involved.
Yeah, it usually works, you know, because they're out in the lobby and the women are in here.
What's your first name?
Stephanie.
And Stephanie, who's the celebrity you think you most resemble?
Goodness. A lot of people tell me I look like Meryl Streep, but.
Meryl Streep.
I think I'm prettier than Meryl Streep.
Well, that's good. I like that.
You got it. Well, who isn't prettier? I got news for you. My dog's ass is prettier than Meryl Streep.
Wow.
But you're in, honey, and thank you. We will see you Wednesday.
What a compliment for Ms. Streep.
I believe that is now five
girls committed.
Or maybe six.
For strip trivia.
Yeah, maybe you're right.
I think we have six, and we only have, 44 to go.
We're going to get as many as we can today and tomorrow.
Perfect.
And then at the last minute tomorrow, we'll ask for the guys to call in.
Very exciting.
And we'll play strip trivia, hopefully, if these girls come through on Wednesday for you.
Excellent.
Hello, Donna, Mike Show.
Hey, Don.
Yes, hi.
Hi, I was calling for Mike. I had my nephew sit on my hatch and broke a motorized hatch, my boat Memorial Day weekend. It was only around $1,600.
Only $1,600.
Wow. Well, for his kind of money, maybe he could do that. But usually, when you're on a boat, sometimes it's the best. They'll know if you're.
Hey, just let me tell you something.
Oh man!
Since what Mike's been going through.
Oh no.
His kind of money is now. Your kind of money.
No. Then I feel sorry for him. Then.
How big was your boat?
It's 37 foot.
Okay. All right. So it sounds like similar size. That's good.
It had a motorized hatch. You hit the button. Right. It opened up. And the thing of it is, it's white, like the color of the front of the boat. So it's hard to detect between the two if it was
Well, you're very nice. Thank you. That makes me feel better.
Trying to ease the pain.
Well, thank you.
If you go down to Ocean City this weekend, they got those Jughead firefighters down there. That place is a mess.
Really? Are you planning to go down to Ocean City?
I think he meant this past weekend.
Well, you know, it's during this week. I had to get out of there. They're hanging up their signs all over the balconies. It looks like a war zone. You
know, the signs that said Jughead Firefighter.
You know, I, for one, have no problem with firemen coming to Ocean City and having a week. Mm-hmm. You know, let them have a week.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus Christ, I'd rather have
And let them act like Jugheads.
I'd rather have firemen in Ocean City than the goddamn senior week.
Right.
That's what I try to avoid.
Sure.
Down in Ocean City.
Exactly.
Senior week.
Yeah, where the kids, you know, they lose, what, two or three jumping out of balconies?
Yeah, always. Always.
I'm glad that didn't happen to me. See, I think I was one step away from that. You know, it was either sit on the hatch or, you know, jump off the boat as it was under full sail.
Just swim to safety?
Right. No, you can't. It's a river. A lot of current in the river, Rob. I would have gone under.
Sucked through the prop.
Absolutely.
Turn into chum.
Come back and lose a leg.
Where's Mike? Tourniquet.
Turn into chum. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Don and Mike.
Yeah, hi.
Hey, Buzz is going in for another operation.
Yes, he is.
What's he having? The resin scraped from his lungs?
Oh, no.
That's right. Buzz, are you having the resin scraped from your lungs?
Yeah, I thought while I was in there, I'd have that done, too.
No. Hey, Buzz.
Yeah. Buzz is having his eyes done.
Hey, when you're done with that, can I have it?
Absolutely, sir.
Yay, I love you, Buzz.
I love you, sir.
Ah, crossword. One across. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Can I please speak to Don and Mike?
Yeah, you're on the air with us right now. Hi.
Hey, Don.
Yeah.
I got a question for you.
Yeah.
When the ladies call in and you guys talk to them and ask them if they're trustworthy?
Yeah.
I mean, how can you trust something that bleeds for a week and doesn't die?
You know, it's a combination of his voice and that joke.
Yeah.
Wow.
It's not even a joke, Mike. It's a statement of fact.
Statement of fact.
Thanks, guys.
You turn something bleeds for a week and doesn't die.
Thank you, my friend.
Oh, God.
And in some cases, more than a week.
Yes, yes. And some more heavy than others.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Yeah, I want to ask Don and Mike a question.
You're on the air with us.
This is Don and Mike?
Yeah.
No, it isn't.
Nothing annoys us more, sir, than someone who does not realize.
Same on the phone, sorry.
Yeah. You are such a DA, and I'm.
Hey, listen.
Don't jump right in with, hey, listen, while you're being chastised for not knowing you were speaking.
You don't sound the same on the phone.
Now, listen, how many times do we have to tell you? We take a lot of unscreened calls.
And before you go any further, I'm going
to
say, I think you're a ball buster. You have that kind of sound to your voice that you're a ball buster.
Now, listen.
And I want to say, I've identified you as such before you make your dumb
thing. Now, listen.
I was going to ask you a question, that's all.
Okay, we're here.
Go ahead. Ask your ball-busting question.
It's not a ball-busting question. If a movie's made in New York, right, and it's set back in the 70s, are you going to digitally put the Twin Towers back in or pretend it never existed?
Mike, you misidentified this guy.
He was a ball buster.
He's just an idiot.
Just a complete idiot.
Well, you know, they're taking them out of movies, so I was going to put it back in or pretend they never existed.
I don't even understand. The point is so convoluted, I don't even understand what he's saying.
You're talking about movies made in New York in the 1970s.
No, if they're made now and it's set back in the 70s, are they going to put the Twin Towers back in?
Well, gee, maybe if it's set back in the 70s, they wouldn't really need the skyline. You know, maybe they would avoid that part of New York.
They could shoot around it.
You know, that's happened in many different movies. There have been many, many movies about New York and New York City where you didn't have the Twin Towers involved.
What would your advice be?
I'd say put them back in.
Put them back in. Right.
And everybody, listen, I'm kidding here.
I don't think folks would be listening to Howard Stern because you guys suck.
There it is.
Yeah.
There it is. I guarantee it. I guarantee, and he's gone.
Yeah.
See?
It's all I wanted.
Classic dumbass. Yeah, we're going to do research.
The number you are trying to call cannot be reached by this method. If you know the number, please dial it direct.
No. Yeah, it's all those metal shards that he's breathing all day in the shop.
Listen, don't be fooled, everybody. I have to apologize. I asked for that man to call. That was Steven Spielberg.
Oh, wasn't okay. And, you know, and for what it's worth, this is really under my skin. You guys sound exactly the same on the phone as you do on the radio.
Thank you very much.
Of course we do. Jesus Christ.
I mean, really, it's not exactly like, you know.
Hi, how are you? Hey, how are you? Hi, now we're on the phone now.
What do you think when I call home, my wife goes, who is this?
Exactly.
Pardon me, come again?
What is all this then?
Right? Who is this? Hello.
Quit calling.
Don and Mike show.
Hey.
Hey.
Hey, I wanted to say, hey, Mike.
Yeah.
How do you trust someone that sits on the front of the boat and bleeds from the ass and doesn't die? Hey, listen, I can trace back the last time when your trouble started with your wife, I think, was when you ran into that sliding glass door.
Yep.
You got a lot of trouble. Glass and booze. One time you're going to go through a plate glass window or something.
You are absolutely right. And, you know, that is actually accurate. That is very, very, you know, the beginning of the end was when I walked into the, I might want to just try to avoid glass. In fact, I'm going out, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going out today to buy paper plates.
Right.
And plastic forks.
Yeah, everything plastic.
Absolutely.
Mike, this house of plastic.
We should,
for your birthday, get you one of those giant Lego houses. You ever been like to Toys R Us?
Yeah, one of the big ones.
In the middle of Toys R Us, they've built like an actual cabin for kids made out of those giant Legos.
You know, I shower in one of those glass enclosed showers now.
No.
Yeah, that'll be, you know, I'll just bleed clean to death.
Hello, Don and Mike show. Hello.
Hello, can you tell me what Lisa's wearing today?
Lisa today is,
Lisa, can you come in here so we can give a detailed description of what you're wearing?
Something red.
She's wearing a red shirt, right?
Yes.
Red shirt. Is it low cut or anything?
Haven't gotten a close look at Lisa today.
It's a red. It appears to be like a golf sport type shirt.
Uh-huh. Here she is.
She is wearing denims.
If you're standing behind her,
dungarees.
For instance, if she was on her computer,
right,
and you happen to walk up behind her to ask her a question,
right,
you could see down her shirt.
Oh, yeah. That's wonderful.
She's wearing giant hoop earrings. Mm-hmm. Her hair pulled back in a ponytail, and the jeans are the color of that, designer jean color.
Oh, that is wonderful.
They're not like the regular Levi look.
What kind of shoes does she have on?
She has, what are those shoes, Lisa?
Lovely, comfortable Steve Madden slides.
Steve Madden slides.
And just for this guy, would you please count to five?
Sure.
One.
Wait, no. Hold on, are you ready?
Yeah, I'm ready.
Okay. One, two, three. Four and a half.
Four and three quarters?
Four and three quarters.
Hey, hold on, you're going to finish up now.
Five.
Thank you.
Ah, very good. Nicely done.
You guys are wonderful. And that's
thank you. Made a boy
thank
very
you,
happy.
Lisa.
Thank you.
Bye.
Terrific.
Thank you very much.
Goodbye. I think she got him with the Steve Madden slides.
Mm-hmm. Goodbye.
Of course, John Madden's brother.
Hello, Donna Mike Show.
Just thank you.
That's another one on our list.
I'm sorry, guys.
Sorry. You are.
Is it me?
Is it me?
I wanted to talk about born identities.
Is it me? That's what I say when I look in the mirror in the morning. Is it me? Is it me?
You guys recommended Born Identity this weekend. I just want to let you know. It sounded like you did. I just didn't get a chance to see it. It was a hell of a movie.
Okay, now, once again, let me just stop this portion of dumbass theater to tell you that the segment we do on Friday is called Don and Mike Review Movies They Haven't Seen.
I understand that, but it sounded like you hadn't seen it over the weekend, considering you gave it your weekend.
Okay, so that's what you were saying. All right, we'll let you slide. That's and you went to see it, and you loved it?
Fantastic.
Okay, there you go. So you can always bank. When we agree on them, that's a slam dunk. You can always rest
assured. That made me consider. I was wondering which one to see, and you guys
showed it. I apologize. You're not that much of a dumbass. Thank you for calling.
I appreciate it.
You know who are dumbasses?
Who?
And this I do mean. Whoever are among the $56 million worth of tickets bought for Scooby-Doo.
Scooby-Doo!
That
I go see Scooby-Doo!
That, to me, is beyond comprehension.
Yeah. There's a Home Depot opening in the morning, and then we can go see Scooby-Doo in the afternoon.
That is beyond my realm. I mean, I know that all of the Ardingers in our audience were going,
right?
Okay, and throughout America, but $56 million.
We'll go see the Home Depot open in the morning, Scooby-Doo matinee, followed by the Olive Garden dinner.
People love the talking dogs.
This is real Italian food.
Not at my show.
I know it's me. Mike, I was wondering if you felt like the girl in Madonna's Entourage. You had a couple drinks and you woke up with your butt bleeding and not sure what happened?
Well, you know, if I'd awakened, but I unfortunately was conscious during the entire tragic incident.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hi, is this Dumbass Theater?
Yeah.
Hi, I'm scared, Don and Mike.
Why?
I heard that you're doing the J.C. Hayward edition of Strip Trivia this Wednesday.
What do you mean?
You said it was the J.C. edition.
No.
J.C. means Jesus Christ.
Not that we would not welcome J.C. Hayward on any edition of Strip Trivia that we played.
I've got to say, this is strictly a local reference. Yeah, Robbie?
Would the wig count as an article of clothing?
Mm-hmm. J.C. Hayward's wig.
Don't be afraid.
Wig.
They gave out the local Emmy Awards.
Yes.
Oh, they have that?
Yes. Over the weekend.
Right. How many did Bob Ryan win?
And Zippy.
Doug Hill win?
No.
No.
I think Burger Jeff won.
Tom Curine?
Channel 4. I'm not
sure. Channel 5 lady won.
Sue Palka?
I think Palka
Channel
won.
Channel 5 won big, yeah.
So,
of course, they're plugged into all that crap.
Here's the deal. I need a copy.
The Palkas.
I need a copy of this tape, and I'll tell you why. That there's a friend of mine who works at Fox Channel 5.
Uh-huh.
He works on the 10 o'clock news. And he said that for the first time ever, the local Emmy Awards, because really, who cares about it? They're for the local news,
right.
And all the local news stations win the Emmy Awards. It's just like a rotating thing where one year one guy wins, the next year the other guy wins, next year the other, and then they go away. Has the guy from Channel 9 won recently?
Yeah.
No, okay, we'll let him win it.
They just spin the wheel.
Yeah. Well, he said it was broadcast on either Channel 32. Channel 32. Okay, so it was broadcast on public TV. I got to get a copy of it. Because he said that Tracy Neal, who is, without a doubt, the only piece of ass in the Washington, D.C. market.
Right.
On the 10 o'clock news. She is a piece of ass. I would do her with Joe Ardinger's D.
Right.
With everybody watching.
Which one is Tracy Neal?
Channel 5.
She's colored, Mike.
She's beautiful.
Right. She's beautiful.
Yeah, she's absolutely gorgeous.
Beautiful African princess.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if this girl... She is a knockout.
And she's also, like, of all the anchors in anywhere in Washington, she's the one that really just knows how to make herself look good.
And apparently from what this guy at Channel 5 was telling me, a secret that she has kept hidden for many, many years
yeah.
was revealed on Saturday night that she has two of the biggest, most beautiful bosoms that God has ever given a woman.
Wow.
And
yeah.
while she was up on stage
yes.
giving her thank you
yes. Right, yes.
for having won the local best anchor
I'm intrigued.
Emmy, the camera was at such an angle as it looked directly down on her incredible boobage.
Oh, fantastic. Wow.
And there has to be somebody out there that was running a videotape, you know, because there are some people out there who just tape everything.
They tape right. everything they watch, right.
Of the Washington, D.C. local Emmy Awards
right.
Saturday night. And I get, this guy said, if you watched it, it was incredible. It was like looking directly down her dress.
Wow. She is a hottie.
And she is.
I like her a lot.
She is such a piece of ass.
She's got it all. I mean, she's also a good anchor. She's one of the best anchors.
Oh, who cares about that? She is just. She is.
I mean, I just like watching her. She's not annoying.
She is so beautiful. She is absolutely so beautiful. And she's got big boobs.
You know who's also beautiful? Who's that guy she works with? What's his name?
Brian Bolter.
Is that his name?
Yeah.
No, not him. Who's the guy?
Will Thomas.
Will Thomas. He is beautiful.
I love Donna Mike Show.
Hi. Sorry, I'm not calling about boobage, but the Scooby-Doo movie, I took my daughter over the weekend, and it's definitely for the 7 and under crowd. It was a 9 o'clock movie, and there were 3-, 4-, 5-year-olds all over the place.
You know, I forgot that. You know, I really did. You know, when we say, you and I think, have really been looking at this from the wrong angle. I just realized listening to this woman when we talk about Scooby-Doo, we think of like adults going to see it, when there probably were lots of adults.
There was lots of adults.
But any woman like this that takes her kid to see a movie, like, you know, kid, there aren't many kids' movies out there, so she gets
there
a creep.
There were lots of adults. Now there was lots of excuses.
That's right.
Yeah. Okay, you're probably right.
But yeah, it's a good movie for kids if you're under 7. If you're over 7, it's not so great.
But isn't it not great for under 7? Doesn't it have some issues in it? Like
no, really. There were a few adult references, but they really went over their head. I mean, they mentioned scrote, but, I mean, a 3-year-old's not going to...
Okay, all right, that's cool.
And no cuss words. They kept it clean.
All right, good. Thank you.
All right, bye-bye. Thank you.
Scrote.
And also Tracy Neal.
Gee, Scoob, look at your scrote.
She was kneading them as well.
Now she was standing up. Wasn't she working them between her thumb and forefinger, the nipples?
She was tuning the radio. She was squeezing them. She was kneading them.
Right.
Man. And at the end of the evening, she said, I need a little echo here, Rob.
Okay, go ahead.
She said, hello? This is Tracy Neal. I want to say thank you. And I'm going to city touch up every day in this room tonight.
Wow.
I will meet you all in my dressing room later.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Oh, yeah.
Channel 5 kicks ass.
Oh, yeah.
And Mike Landis is a faggot. Wow. And also, Barbara Harrison, I want you.
You.
I want you.
Barbara Harrison is
you win. Mulatto dreamboat.
She didn't win anything, did she?
No.
Please tell me that Krebs or Harrison didn't win.
Best mulatto.
Oh, God.
Barbara Harris, favorite mulatto morning anchor.
You know who got screwed is a lot of people in D.C. because Baltimore is in the same Emmy Awards.
Right.
And a lot of awards, apparently if you do any story on Cal Ripken, you get a trophy.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So Baltimore got a lot of the trophy.
But Don Scott win anything?
Didn't see Don Scott. I'm glad to know that they recognized Patrick McGrath at Channel 5 as well.
Very good.
Kent Brockman.
Yeah, the guy who looks just like David the Simpsons.
Kent Brockman. Well, we're going to take a look at these cars right now. You know how it's going.
Anybody who's got a tape of that, I got to see Tracy Neal's boobs.
Oh. And you know what? They don't show them on Channel 5.
They never do.
And they do. If she was out in L.A., you know they'd pan down. You'd be looking at those gardens.
Donna Mike.
Yo, guys.
Hi.
5 minutes into Scooby-Doo, Pam Anderson shows up in all her glory.
Well, she's like a mannequin, though.
Yeah, she's like a CGRW.
As a father, you take your young kids there, you have no idea what's showing up on the screen.
Buzz, the CGRW, not familiar with the term?
No,
the GRW would be guzzling road horn.
Okay, gotcha. CGRW. Gotcha. We've used it for years.
Yes.
CGRW. Thank you, my friend.
I bet that's when they use the word scrote.
Hello, Donna Mike Show.
Ooh.
Hello. Oops, one more call. Hello, Donna Mike Show.
Donna Mike.
Yeah.
Hey, calling from the Beach Style Club.
Hi there.
Hey, the guy had a question about Lisa. I got another one. How Is she fresh and like down with giving BJs now, or is she still kind of irky about it?
Is Lisa giving BJs yet?
Yeah, it's her boyfriend.
You better ask her. She's here. She's got a microphone. Ask her, sir.
To her boyfriend.
What was the question?
I was wondering if you're still kind of irky about giving out the old BJs, or have you gotten light with that?
Well, folks.
Yeah, folks.
I have been converted.
Really?
Yes.
Say it loud, say it proud.
I have been converted. I like the BJs.
Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you.
How about that, sir?
Yeah.
All right, thank you. throws in the S word.
The S word. O-S.
Throws in the S word.
Very excited.
O-S. So, Lisa, again, the great news is?
Ladies and gentlemen, I have been converted. I'm a fan of the BJs. Thank you. Sorry, Mom. I think my mom's in the car right now. Sorry.
Like your mom hasn't been there.
No.
Watch it.
Well, your mom is certainly...
Watch it.
...experienced it. Okay?
Okay, that's kind of oogie.
Oh, yeah, that is. That is oogie.
Not for me.
No, for anybody's mom. I'm doing it like generic mom. Not your mom. I've only met your mom once.
Okay. Well, your mom's done it too, Mike.
Yeah, shut up.
Right.
No. You know, that's my mama.
She's done it.
I do not want to pursue this discussion. This discussion is terminated. I have no idea. And when I think about it, it gives me all, I get prickly heat. So please, move on to the next mom, please.
Buzz?
No, I don't believe so.
You're a liar.
No.
You should stop.
Rob, buddy.
How you doing?
You guys are living in a freaking fantasy world.
And we like it that way.
Yeah, it's not a question of living in a fantasy world. It's a question we don't like talking about.
That's right.
You know, call us crazy. We don't like talking about our mamas.
We got a break. All right. I'll talk about mine as soon as I find her. I'm sure wherever she is, she's probably on her back right now. Probably got three big D's in her face right now. See, I don't know who my mother is.
So it's good. So see, you have that freedom.
We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
You honor me by giving me gas.
The Don and Mike Show.
Like a five-star BJ. The Don and Mike program.
And then it rose.
Yay!
It was resurrected. It's the Easter of the Don and Mike Show.
Fantastic.
Troop trivia. Making its joyous return Wednesday. We got six girls. We need more. And we got to have women we can count on.
Yeah, I mean, we're not messing around this time.
877-365-3636. Or from D.C., 202-432-1067. Strip trivia on Wednesday. We're taking the girls first, and then the guys. Call us right here. The 47th most important show at Infinity Broadcasting.
Yes.
The Don and Mike Show.
Excellent.
Hello, Don and Mike.
Hey, Don and Mike.
And if strip trivia resurrects itself on Wednesday,
uh-huh,
forevermore, today will be known as Good Monday.
Good Monday, because that's when we turned it around. And strip trivia rose.
And that'll be Ass Wednesday.
That's correct again.
Very good, Father.
Thank Hello. Hello.
Hello. Hello.
Yeah, you're on the air. Hi.
Hey, Rob, it continues. Rob and I were discussing during the break. People having a little difficulty realizing they're on the air today. I don't know what the problem is.
Hi there.
Hi, I was wondering when you guys are going to be back on New York.
Good question.
Well, now, Rob, don't get mad at the guy. How are people from New York supposed to know?
I mean, I'm enjoying the Batman interview again, but it's getting a little old.
Yeah, I know.
So I understand we've gotten a couple of calls from New York that are indicating to us that not only are they playing tape, but they're playing tape again and again and again.
Joe tells me that that's like all... Hey, Joe, come here for a minute. Joseph Ardinger. And do we... a good time to...
Yeah, we have it.
You got the tape, Robbie?
Yeah, I do.
Joe, how many calls are we getting from New York?
Probably a half dozen an hour.
I mean, a lot of calls. Come on, that doesn't sound like very many, Joe. half dozen an
you
hour.
You are a knucklehead.
Well,
you are. You have about as much knowledge of the way radio works. It's incredible.
Oh, you told me that we're getting swamped.
We're getting swamped, and people are also
talking. Look to it.
I'm sorry. What?
I said, if you can just leave me on hold, I can listen to the show. It's great.
I feel bad for people.
Sir, you can probably try to get WISP out of Philadelphia. I'm getting a lot of calls from people saying, hey, I'm getting you out of Philadelphia.
Well, what would that
I'm
be?
I'm on the wrong side of New York.
What would that be, 9 people every half hour?
90 people an hour.
90 people an hour. Okay, thank you.
Thanks, bye-bye. Joe.
Can't wait for you guys to come back.
Thanks. Don't hold your breath on it.
Thanks. Joe Arden's your director of marketing for the Don and Mike Show.
There he is. Oh, a half dozen calls an hour.
At least.
They told me.
He told me the last week that they were getting many calls.
Like almost all the calls that they were screening from people in New York.
Oh, a half dozen an hour.
I mean, you're probably wondering, how does a guy like Joe Ardinger get hired in the first place?
Mm-hmm.
He's the world's oldest phone screener. I now have a tape of the interview. Hidden microphone.
Right.
When someone from the station, maybe it was Broyhill, somebody sat him down to interview him to see, and they said to him, you know, tell us why you would like to be a phone screener for the Don and Mike Show. And here now is Joe Ardinger.
Pete has no cat feet. He has no mule ears. He has no seal tail. Pete has no cat feet. He has no mule ears. He has no seal tail. Pete has no cat feet. He has no mule ears. He has.
Anyway, well, it goes on. That was
the part where they're asking Joe to talk about himself for a little bit.
Joe Ardinger had his job interview.
Very good.
How did he get his job?
Immediately, and they hired him on the spot.
Enlightening.
That is how he got his job. So Strip Trivia returns on a Wednesday, as long as you girls keep calling. Now, joining us on the phone now is a guy named George.
George.
And this guy is the guy with the website.
George.
www.xmission.com. Uh-huh. The guy is a listener of this show.
A serial killer.
And no, he's not a serial killer.
Okay.
I find myself agreeing with a lot of the things that this guy has to say on his website. And here he is.
You're
now
a serial killer, too.
Here he is from Salt Lake City. And the website is xmission.com. And then that squiggly thing.
Right.
Maddox.
Very good.
Is that right? To George?
Yeah.
Did I get that address right?
That's right.
Okay, so welcome to the show. First question. Big fan of the website. Are you, in fact, a serial killer?
No, I'm going to have to say no.
We did get a few calls from people that were concerned about some of your rants that you do kind of go over the top on a few things, but you in fact do not have any bodies buried in your backyard.
Right. Yeah, you know, actually I finally got a clip of the show that aired, and I heard the caller that called in and accused me of being a serial killer.
Yes.
Yeah, and I was just wondering how she would know what a serial killer sounds like in the first place.
That, now see, that way to turn the table, that's good. You got her.
Using your noodles, George.
That's good.
Well, we are big fans of the website. There's some new stuff up on the website right now if you want to go and follow along. I just want to say, this guy makes, I'm not kidding,
sense.
Makes an awful lot of sense to me.
Mm-hmm.
I find myself identifying with a large portion of stuff that this guy writes. Now, I've already had a preview of one of the things. He's going to write, one of the things on his website today is about those annoying ads, The Truth.
Right.
You know, the anti-smoking ad?
Yes, right, yes, the truth. Like the rat coming out of the subway?
Right.
Right.
That's on his website right now. George, lay that one on us.
Yeah, you know, I don't smoke, but I've been considering smoking just out of spite because of those damn truth ads. You know, they always have those kids running around like they're sneaking in a hotel room. You know, they're going to ring the doorbell and run away and hide or something. I don't know what's going on, but I hate the double standard here. I mean, you have on one side all these people crying out, you know, cigarettes are bad. You know, they really care about your health. But on the other side, they don't say anything about fast food. You know, like, for example, McDonald's, one of the world's largest contributors to obesity and heart disease in the world. They don't say anything about that.
No rats around McDonald's.
Right.
All right,
well, maybe that wasn't his best one. how about this one? The one that's, I am better than your kids.
Yeah, actually, so if you work in an office with lots of people, chances are that you've worked with a person who hangs pictures up that their kids drew.
Yeah.
The pictures are always of some stupid flower or a tree with wheels. Let's face it, these pictures suck. I could draw pictures much better. In fact, I can spell, do math, and run faster than your kids.
So that annoys you. Seeing pictures drawn by youngsters bothers
you. Now, if you're out there by a computer, go to the website right now, and you will be able to follow along. Click on the link, I am better than your kids.
Right.
And you'll be able to see some of the pictures that George is writing about, and the
right.
grades that he gives the pictures. All right, now, why don't you just read what you wrote after the heading, I am better than your kids.
Right, okay, well, in fact, I can spell, do math, and run faster than your kids. So, being that my skills are obviously superior to those of your children, I've taken the liberty to judge artwork done by other kids on the internet. Now, I went through the other night, and I collected a bunch of pictures that kids have drawn on the internet so I can grade them. And, you know, I'll be signing a grade through A through F.
Now, here is the first picture, Mike, from Megan, age 4.
Oh, God.
As you can see, it's a picture of a dog.
Yes, drawn by a 4-year-old.
Now, when there's cursing, just say effiest, okay, or effiest.
Right.
Here is, first off, George gave this picture of this dog, which was hanging in his office by a coworker, and a grade of an F. And what were your comments, George?
Right, it just looks like a big brown circle. I don't even know what it is. If it's supposed to be a dog, it's the crappiest dog I've ever seen.
All right, now you have...
God.
Here you go. This is from Kyle, age 8. God, a guy drew, a little kid drew an American flag.
That's a lovely picture.
It says,
nice.
God bless America.
Oh, that's nice.
Very nice
That
there.
Is from Kyle.
That's true. What does he grade it?
F.
Now, why an
now,
F?
Now, hold on here. Hear him out.
All right, I'll hear him out.
All right, well, it's a drawing of an American flag with yellow stars and the words God Bless America at the bottom. It says America, not America. He spelled America wrong. What kind of a-hole spelled America wrong, you know?
A-hole.
All right, I could have sworn America's colors were red, white, and blue. There's no yellow anywhere.
Maybe he only had a yellow crayon. Right.
Next, we have a picture from Lisa,
right.
Age 6. Appears to be some type of an Easter drawing, Mike.
I've seen many pictures drawn just like that.
There
and I think for a 6-year-old, since I happen to be an expert on this, that's a fantastic picture.
George gives it an F, and here are his comments.
Right, it looks like a rabbit with some eggs on this picture, drawn by Lisa, age 6. I almost had a seizure when I first saw this one. There's too many colors. The eggs aren't even supposed to have ears.
Okay.
It's terrible.
You didn't like the egg with the ears?
No way.
You know, there's some teachers that might say that was actually an innovative kind of show some creativity.
And now here is one by Cameron, age 4. It's a castle or something.
Yeah.
You gave it an F, and it just says terrible.
Terrible.
That's all. It just says terrible. And finally, there's one by rather avant-garde by Bryce.
Now that shows talent.
Age 10, mm-hmm. But George gave it an F
Another
as well.
F. George, I believe all the grades you've given out have been Fs. Is that correct?
And your comment on this picture is?
That's right. Well, it's a dilapidated-looking Frankenstein by Bryce, age 10. And it wouldn't be so bad if you would have kept the colors inside the lines. Yeah, picked a new perspective, used non-abrasive colors, and asked someone with talent to paint it for him.
Oh, my God. Yeah, he's harsh. Now, way harsh.
On one hand, he wants to give an A for effort, but... He has to give it an F.
And then ask the place, they've given an F.
And then read what you wrote here on the bottom about I win.
Right, I win. When I go to work next time, I'm going to surprise all my coworkers and put up pictures of myself instead of their ugly kids and their inane drawings.
Now let's move along to some of the other ones, and I hope that you would just read them. Let me see if some of them that I really agree with. For instance, the one that's just titled Bitch. If you could
look at gathering that up right now. Is that a picture?
Yeah, it's about Julia Roberts.
Now it's starting to make sense.
I love Julia Roberts.
So do I, Buzz.
Yeah, I don't know the one titled. I hate Julia Roberts.
No, it's called Bitch.
Is that just a picture over there?
Right.
Bitch.
Oh, man.
and you can just read it verbatim.
All right. I'll read it verbatim. Okay, I can't stand Julia Roberts. She was the hag in the movie Pretty Woman and My Best Friend's Wedding. She plays herself as being wholesome and fortified with vitamins, but I know her kind, that bitch. Some people consider her America's sweetheart. That's BS. She's a lying whore. Just look at her. Lies. She just doesn't know when to quit. Someone should say, hey, listen, we've had enough of your BS. We're not going to take it anymore. Then she should be thrown into a pit with burning hell maggots. I hate her grinning teeth, Julia, always laughing at me. She goes on my official super bitch list right up there with that whore from the Crest commercials. I hate her.
Oh, God.
All right, now here you go.
A lot of anger here. Yeah. A lot of anger.
You know, let's go to, I've got your free porn right here.
Free porn.
Right, he's going through his little Rolodex there.
Dumbass Wankers is, I think, the title.
All right.
Dumbass Wankers.
Hmm. Yeah, actually, yeah, I remember when I put this up. You know, seriously, what the hell's wrong with people? The internet is full of moron wankers looking for porn.
No, here's what you do. He wrote dip ass.
Uh-huh. Dip ass, right.
Just say dip ass.
All right.
You know what you mean.
You know, the reason I wrote this article is one night I was sitting there on a search website watching, it's a voyeur website. You can see what people type into search engines. And I saw some of the stupidest things I've ever seen in my life. Like, people would literally ask questions. I want to see my neighbors naked. Like, the search engine, some kind of intelligent, sentient being that's able to pull up pictures of his neighbor, you know, just know where his neighbor lives or anything. And they always type in, search strings like, I want boobs and nasty pictures. It's terrible. I mean, half the time these morons spell the words wrong and ask detailed, complex questions about their lives to the search engine. I mean, how the hell could these people be so stupid? Now, where did these people come from, and why haven't they been shot yet? Everyone has to learn somewhere, but looking for porn is not the way to do it. Search engines need to be a lot more intolerant of wanking dip-asses. If you spell something wrong, it plants a virus into your computer as a warning. If you're a complete dumbass and type a complex sentence into a search engine, your computer gets formatted. None of this query not found BS that they have now. We need to teach people a lesson. Computers are not meant to be friendly. They're meant to be complex and intimidating. If you can't figure it out, you fail. You're off the team. Most programmers spend a great deal of time writing code to prevent dip-asses from putting garbage into a program. Why? Why don't we just get rid of the dip-asses and forget error checking?
Killing them.
How long? Sorry?
Yeah, just shoot them, right?
Right, right. Yeah, I mean, how long does it take to pick up a manual and read a few paragraphs? How long does it take to learn to use a search engine? It can't get any easier, and these people still screw up.
Now, Mike, some of these are almost 4 years old.
Okay.
But there are two more that I want him to read that I know you will agree with.
Ah, very good. I'm waiting.
Let's go to Meteorologists My Ass.
Ah, fantastic. Now I'm with you, George.
Sounds
good. I finally found one that I'm with you on, buddy.
I mean, I'm with him on all of these thus far.
Yeah, you know, I'm a fan of Julia Roberts, so it's hard for me. And I like little children's art.
Oh, and George, how many years have you had this website up?
I've had it up just over 4 years now.
Wow.
4 or 5 years.
And how many hits a day are you averaging?
You know, until you guys mentioned it on the air, just about 300-400.
So how many are you getting now?
Now about 2,000.
Yeah, we'll wait till after today.
Very good.
Yeah, all right. It'll be over.
Here we go. Meteorologists, my ass.
Right. You know, countless man hours, millions of dollars have been invested in weather satellites, weather radar, and remote sensors to generate sophisticated computer models of the world's atmosphere to make detailed weather forecasts. So what do I get when I turn into the news to find out the weather? Tomorrow there'll be a chance it'll be partly cloudy with highs from mid to upper 80s. I mean, what the hell is partly cloudy supposed to mean? When is it not partly cloudy? Even if it is or isn't, does it really matter? Does anyone really need to be reminded that it will be partly cloudy tomorrow? As ambiguous as that phrase is, they water it down even more with the word chance. I mean, how useful is it to know that there's a chance it'll be partly cloudy on any given day? As opposed to all those other days when there isn't a chance it'll be partly cloudy. I mean, weathermen just use this phrase, partly cloudy, as a buffer every chance they get. Don't believe me? Just tune into the weather forecast. Chances are you'll hear the phrase at least 3 or more times.
There you go.
Now, well, when they use the phrase, partly cloudy, has been exhausted, they turn to another empty phrase, the phrase, mostly sunny. Now, the inverse of partly cloudy is mostly sunny.
Right.
So what new information have they given us? Nothing. Not a damn thing. You want to find out the weather? Look out the damn window. Now, I feel like I've been raped after I watch the news. For months, I've been hearing about JFK Jr.'s death, and people still harp about Princess Di. Yet when thousands of people die in an earthquake in Turkey, do we hear about any one of them particularly in the news? Are their lives less important than JFK Jr.'s? I mean, how much more praise does the guy need? It's not like he lived his life being desired by millions of women without having to worry about financial support ever. Well.
Wait.
There you go.
And Mike, here you go. This is one to balance things out with the Julia Roberts thing.
Okay, very good.
Why don't you go to your essay, The Evil Bitch, Helen Hunt?
Oh, my. Because you like Helen Hunt.
For you know I love Helen Hunt.
Yeah.
And I'm going to show you that.
Right.
I'm going to give it to you both ways.
A little balance? Okay, very good.
With this guy. Okay. The Evil Bitch, Helen Hunt, and he's got it under Super Hag Profile.
Wow.
Helen Hunt.
Yeah, actually, a couple years back, I received my first piece of hate mail. It was about Helen Hunt, and the guy couldn't even spell the name wrong. So out of spite, I put up this this huge hate mail, or this huge anti-Helen Hunt page.
All right.
So, why Helen Hunt? Because she's a nasty actress and a fraud. I mean, here's a picture of her face getting painted on. Apparently, makeup has its limits. Now, I saw an episode of Mad About You once, and I couldn't stand it. Helen Hunt was pregnant or sick, and Paul Reiser wanted to show something to Helen in the kitchen. He had to beg and beg until finally she decided to take a look, bitching the whole way. It turned out that Paul had baked her a cake or something out of the goodness of his heart. And she acted all snooty and said, "That's it? What do you mean, that's it? Yeah, that's it. I mean, what the hell do you want? I cook for you, I clean for you, I put up with your BS, and this is the thanks I get? Paul should dump her ass, and then he should stop acting because his acting is the crap.
Is the S's.
I mean, you'd expect a little bit of gratitude or appreciation for all your hard work, but no, nothing's ever good enough for Miss Hunt. She's too good for simple things like cake. Princess wants it her way. Well, I have news for you, Princess. You can't have it your way. In fact, how about I give you nothing? You like that, ho bitch? Can't bitch about nothing. It's the perfect gift for a hag like you. I'd never expect Helen Hunt to turn down food. I'm sure she eats like a pig, just like the rest of us. She's got to put her guard down sometime. And, you know, then it's just followed by a couple of pictures, and I put in some nasty captions.
Yeah, and
you get it all out of your system, don't you? I bet you never need to go to therapy, do you?
Right. It's actually a form of venting.
I mean, but you're a very calm, mellow guy when people meet you on
and
the
you
street.
And you have other topics. Oh, no, not another douche commercial. Bob Saget is Satan.
Oh, absolutely. I agree with him there.
Beware of the Yellow Jacket conspiracy.
What is that?
That's about guys who wear yellow jackets. I think they're important.
Wear yellow jackets.
How about, finally, wow, this is a long one. I really like this one. The a-hole test. Are you an a-hole?
Fantastic. Is this an actual test with questions?
Well, no, you give yourself points.
Okay.
You give yourself points. Can you look that one up?
Yeah.
And just go through the very beginning, because this is like a four-pager.
All right, I'll do like the first five. Okay. Yeah. Now give yourself 5 points each time you laugh during the movie Saving Private Ryan.
Okay.
Give yourself 10 points if you've ever called someone anorexia fat. Bonus 10 points if someone you called fat became anorexic. 5 points if you've ever kicked a little kid into... I'm sorry. Sure. Tricked a little kid into giving you money. Kicks could have worked there, though. 10 points if you've ever considered running over a group of people. Bonus 10 points if they were old enough, old people in the crowd. 20 points if someone suicidal came to you for help and you encouraged them. Bonus 10 points if they mentioned you in their suicide note.
Oh.
Now, you get 50 points if you're Donny Osmond, just automatically.
Oh, wow.
And he writes, what an a-hole. And there's a picture of Donny Osmond in real big letters underneath that says, a-hole.
What an a-hole.
Yeah, I can't stand Donny Osmond.
10 points if you've ever lied about a death of the family to help out of getting someone moved. 5 points for every time you've cut in line in front of an old lady. 10 points if you've ever keyed someone's car for having a better parking spot.
There you go.
The next two are for parents only.
Uh-huh.
20 points if you ever told your kid you wish they were aborted.
Oh, no.
10 points if you told your kid that they were a mistake. Bonus 5 points if they really were. 10. Now why? Well, no, I get this. Okay. 10 points if you've ever seen the movie Titanic. 20 points if you're a CEO. 20 points if you've ever made a mean-looking face to a baby.
Oh, God.
Wow. Bonus 10 points if you've ever made the baby cry.
Oh, my goodness.
10 points if someone thinks you're a cop. 10 points if you've ever faked an injury so someone would open a door for you. And then once you've added up all your points, uh-huh, use the following chart to find out how much of an a-hole you are.
What did you score, George, on the test to yourself?
I scored something in the 300 to 400.
That's a pretty good score.
All right.
Big a-hole.
All right, 0 to 50. You make me sick. You probably love singing, dancing, and children. You're a parasite, and I hope you die.
There you go.
55 to 100. You're a novice a-hole. Practice hating more. Oh, wait, forget it. You'll probably fail again. I hate you.
Practice hating more.
105 to 200. You have potential for being a great a-hole, but you're probably too socially active. Ditch your friends and spend all your spare time hating Tony Danza. 205 to 350. You're an a-hole. No other way around it.
There you go.
You think making fun of old people and children is fun, and you wear fur to just a piss-off activist. You make me proud. 355 to 450.
Wow.
Donny Osmond, this is for you. Oh. Just in case you ever came to my site, I wanted to let you know I hate you. 455 to 500 plus. You're not just an a-hole, but you're full of S, too. There's no way to get every possible point. Way to cheat, dumbass.
Hey, there you go. You give it right back to him. Man, oh, man. Well, you get it all out of your system, don't you, George?
Right.
Listen, here's the deal. I think once a month, what you should do, George, is get your best stuff. And once a month, we'll call out to Salt Lake and get you on the show and just give you a segment.
Get him just to rant, just to vent, and he can choose it.
Mm-hmm. Okay?
Sounds good.
And the website is maddox@xmission.com, or is that your email address?
No, that's right. maddox@xmission.com is the email, and
yeah.
the URL is www.xmission.com/tilde, the little squiggly line, Maddox, M-A-D-D-O-X.
Beautiful. Well, there he is.
Thanks, hey, George.
Thanks a lot, guys.
I'm hooked on the site, and the guy makes a lot of sense. We'll see you next month.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Take care.
He makes a lot of sense.
There he is. I think he does.
That's so funny that that's your guy. He makes a lot of sense. He's good for America.
Right?
That's right.
You know, I mean...
Kill them all.
Every time I read this stuff...
Right.
It's like, I mean, some of it's funny.
Yes. But some of it's serious and makes sense.
A lot of it's true.
No, his stuff on the meteorologist, I'm with him 100%.
I hate Valentine's Day.
Right.
You'd agree with that one?
Sure, yeah, I do.
More BS propaganda...
They're the ones that are a little slightly disturbing.
Here's the one. Littering kicks ass.
Littering kicks ass.
Man, I love to throw ass out the window when I'm driving.
Oh, God.
There's nothing more satisfying than throwing garbage everywhere. Seriously. It's about time that people felt good again about who they are. Lazy bastards.
Now he's winning me a little bit here.
Let's say, for example... Let me tell you about this guy at my work that comes in every day bragging about what a good parking spot he has. Oh, wait, that's me. Getting a good parking spot kicks ass. Why should I walk a few extra feet to the door when I can drive around to the parking lot for 20 minutes until a good spot opens up? Walking is for suckers. I had thought of an idea the other day. I want to make a big chunk of America and make it a garbage dump. We could call the garbage dump a state and hire some jackass as governor. Wait, hold on. We already have that place. It's called Utah.
Oh, God.
That's where he lives.
He doesn't like where he lives. Of course he doesn't. Doesn't
then
like
we
anything.
We have the following people are worthless.
Okay.
Calista Flockhart.
He's got pictures there. That's pretty funny.
Calista Flockhart, Bob Saget, Walt Disney, John Leguizamo, Jenny Jones, that bitch on the Crest commercials.
He doesn't like the girl on the Crest commercials.
Pauly Shore, Sinbad, Celine Dion, Barbara Streisand, Rush Limbaugh, Paul Reiser, 100% a-hole.
Yeah.
And Helen Hunt.
You know, I'm with him. I'm about 90% with him, absolutely.
Here you go. I love animals with gravy.
Yeah. Okay.
Horrible movie. Patch Adams.
Yeah.
there's
just too much kindness and love in that movie.
Let me see. Oh, now this one, Mike, I might not agree with this one. I still hate kids.
Now, he has a kid thing. He doesn't like kids.
Kids are stupid.
Kids, women, and old people. He's not fond of anything.
They're always running around with their sticky hands and filthy toys.
Don't extend your hand to this guy.
No. Oblivious to their surroundings. Irresponsible, lazy, and worthless. I saw a kid on a Chex commercial today. The kid was laughing. Laughing because he likes the noise it makes when he eats cereal. The kid was trying to be cute and funny, but he was annoying and repulsive. The commercial gave me diarrhea.
He's got some issues, this guy.
Kids need jobs. Remember the selling lemonade at the corner of the street BS? The other day, some ugly kids were trying to sell piss-warm lemonade to people driving by. Like anyone that's going to go out of the way to stop, buy some diseased sugar water with dead flies in it, to help out a group of dirty little S's that don't have anything better to do. Not that they know what to do with the money once they get it. They usually fritter it away on Legos and Britney Spears. God. I saw a Rice Krispies commercial yesterday. It started with some short, uncoordinated little ass trying to reach the Rice Krispies on the kitchen counter. I was hoping it was one of those commercials where a pot of boiling water scolds the kid.
Oh, come on. He goes too far.
Kid got his Rice Krispies and the music started playing.
Jesus.
Snap. Crackle pop. Dad whore.
Oh, wow.
The kid snuck into his baby brother's room and placed the bowl of cereal right next to his head. The baby woke up and looked around. What the hell? The last thing you want is a baby that's awake. Babies are loud, stupid, and they ass all over everything. Just as the baby woke up, the door cracked open. It was the mom. She looked in the room and tilted her head as if to say, "Aw, isn't that cute?" "No, you stupid bitch. Your kid could have been scalded by boiling water. Pay attention next time."
Wow.
Damned irresponsible parents. If you're not going to supervise your little brats, don't have kids. People tell me I shouldn't have kids.
Yeah.
Why? I think I'd make a great parent.
Yeah.
My kids won't be screwed up little bastards. They'll be great, just like me. I won't tolerate failure like those other parents.
Oh.
No son of mine's going to fail. We need more winners and less losers. If you can't cut it, you're weak. Inferior? Worthless. Bad seed? Sour grapes. What's with sour grapes anyway? Why are they so bad? I like sour grapes. So piss off.
There he goes.
I like that one there. That's pretty funny.
Guy's nuts.
George is, like any great writer, he's a little Mike Heastandy when you get him on the air, but he's got some very interesting things to say.
Yeah, he's absolutely nuts. And, he's our guy.
He's the kind of guy that, you know he really goes to town when he's at a keyboard. A little understated when you get him on the radio, but I like hearing you read his stuff, too. That's pretty good.
He's pretty good. Hello, Don and Mike.
Hey, Don.
Yeah, hi.
Hey, what's up, buddy?
Hey, you're on the air, my friend.
It's great to talk to both of you. Mike, both of you are just funny as hell and Buzz.
Yes.
The master.
Thank you.
You are the master of the one-sentence satire.
Thank you.
Okay. Well, that's nice of you to have kind words for all of us.
It's very nice.
Thank you. Well, what can we do for you? We're really running late here.
Okay, well, actually, believe it or not, two questions.
Hold on. You can't say...
I'm sorry. I'm an a-hole.
An a-hole, yeah.
You think, why are you an a-hole?
Well, I was, listen to this. I was mentioned in a suicide note, and the person that mentioned me in their suicide note hates kids just about as much as George does. And I'm mistaken for a cop all the time.
Okay, well, then you were scoring along and you wanted to share that.
I got it. Okay.
How is it that you were mentioned in a suicide note?
Well, it's a long story, but it was like I wasn't.
Oh God! All right. Goodbye.
I'm an a-hole.
Goodbye. You are.
Yeah.
Yeah, you are. I couldn't stand listening to that guy. His mother.
Yeah, right. We said it together. Right. His mother.
Mom.
To kill myself.
I can't stand it anymore. Mom.
My retarded son. We'll be right back. Thank you, George.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Who's this?
This is a very special call. Hello, is this G. Gordon Liddy?
Yes, it is.
This is Regis Philbin. How are you?
Hey, Reed.
The Don and Mike Show. You can call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-65-3636. From D.C. on WJFN. 202-432-1067. And from New York City on WNEW. 877-692-1027. They're ready to believe you.
I've had it up to here with the likes of you people.
Ricky assistance at Cook 212.
That is right.
Your source for bad horse. The Don and Mike Show.
All right, some business here.
All right.
Put me on hold.
It's the return of strip trivia. Like Jesus Christ, it's returned from the dead. We got seven girls.
Yeah, we need about 10 more.
We promise. They're coming down on Wednesday.
That's right.
And we're going to be on them like flies on ass.
Absolutely.
We're going to... going to get more girls today. 877-365-3636.
You like to win a trip to Hollywood? You call right now and play strip trivia.
Yeah, trip to Hollywood Party with Poison, courtesy of VH1. Playing strip trivia Wednesday. Now, here's another contest we have going. This is from Hotwire. You can win $1,000 to travel anywhere in America and $2,500 in cash.
Wow, that's serious money.
This is a real easy contest. This is all you have to do. Go to hotwire.com. Type in a location.
Yeah, where you want to go.
Somewhere you want to go.
Mm-hmm.
For me, say I put Needham and Asher, Wisconsin.
That's where you've always wanted to go. I would put Portland, Maine.
Buzz?
Oh, Wichita, every time.
Wichita, Kansas. And then what you do is...
after Buzz, you shoot yourself. No, I'm just kidding.
It'll then print out how much it costs on Hotwire to fly to the city that you choose.
Right.
All you do is print that page out and fax it to us.
Who do you think would get the best fare? You with Needham and Asher, me with Portland, Maine, or Buzz with Wichita? I bet Buzz would get the best rate.
I think you would, too.
I'd say Portland, Maine. Think so?
Maybe it's closer, but it's a smaller airport.
I know there's somebody listening out there. Go on Hotwire and see who gets the best fare.
800-636-6410 is our fax number. Here's the deal.
It's a client will love that.
Yeah. It's real simple. It's real simple. Go to Hotwire.com.
What a great idea. We could have all been resting.
Find your fare. Just print it out.
Print it.
And then fax it to us. That's all Hotwire wants you to do.
Put your phone number on it, though. It's important because if we pick yours, we're going to call you and we're going to give you that fare plus $2,500.
Yes.
Wow.
On Thursday. So what you got to do, go to Hotwire.com, type in where you want to go. It'll tell you. Then print that page out on your computer.
That's right.
Then go to the fax machine, 800-636-6410. We'll pick someone at random on Thursday, and they're going to win.
Cool.
And Tammy just came in to tell me, the good people at HBO, God, you know what? We got some great sponsors.
I love the HBO.
Mm-hmm. They're giving us a trip to give away on Friday to see Robin Williams live on Broadway on his HBO Return to Comedy show.
Oh, that'll be fantastic.
That's on Friday. Christ, that's a lot of stuff.
Christ.
We got a busy week. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hello.
Hi.
How's it going?
You're on the air.
Don and Mike, you guys are radio gods.
Thank you.
So I was wondering if you guys knew that Leah had her birthday this weekend.
Yes, I happen to know that Leah Remini's birthday was Saturday.
Yes, did you call and wish her happy birthday?
I did.
Or were you too caught up in Father's Day?
No, Father's Day was Sunday, and I did, as a matter of fact, drop a message at Leah's voicemail.
Well, that's wonderful. Very nice. Did you say happy birthday to you? Happy birthday to you? Happy birthday to you, Leah? Happy birthday to you?
No, I just said, hi, it's Don, happy birthday. Turn your microphone on sometime.
Ah, very good. Yeah, just
that was it.
Join the show.
Just turn your microphone on sometime.
Nice. Amen.
All right, thank you, buddy.
Thanks, guys.
Bye-bye.
We're having Nicole turn it on for her.
Bye-bye. Oh, and you know what? I'm going to say this now. If you ever want to know what that relationship was truly like, our friend Leah Remini and her sister, Nicole, being her assistant, watch that awful movie, America's Sweethearts.
With Catherine Zeta-Jones and Julia Roberts as the sisters who...
watch it.
Who work with each other.
Learn it. Live it.
That's very good.
Know it. That's it.
Amen.
I mean, that's it times one freaking thousand. Except that Leah's 100% better looking than her sister.
And you're John Cusack.
I wish. If I'm John Cusack,
I'm the guy with the accent. Oh, he comes into the restaurant. That's me. You mean as I smash things?
What's that guy's name? He was Helen Hunt's ex-husband.
Hank Azaria.
I'm Hank Azaria. There you go. What are you doing? Come on, pussy. I did log a little time. We missed a long time at the same time with that movie over the weekend.
Yeah. Oh, and you know what else I was going to tell you about? That Apocalypse Now redone.
God, you know, I turn it on
Mike,
too late and I fall asleep.
Here's the deal. It was on the movie channel last night.
Right.
But the version that they're showing still is not the full version.
Is the full version the one you have to get, like, on DVD?
Yeah. And that's the one that they had on pay-per-view.
Mm-hmm.
That's the one that's 4 hours and 15 minutes long.
Wow. Right, right.
I mean, and if you love that movie, and who doesn't love Apocalypse Now?
Sure.
There is so much extra stuff.
Right. Right.
That's in this what do they call it?
Director's
Redux.
Cut.
R-E-D-U-X. Yeah, oh, Redux. Yeah.
Apocalypse Now Redux.
Redux. It was right. on the movie channel last night, and Mike and I had been talking about this off the air last week.
Right.
And you had mentioned you had
said it's 4.5 hours long, right?
The friend and I one night rented it on pay-per-view.
Right.
And the one that was on the movie channel last night was only 3 hours and 45 minutes.
Right, exactly. Right.
And then I went to my DVD collection, and I realized that what they're showing is just the movie.
Mm-hmm.
What they have on the DVD is the movie.
They've got everything.
And tons of other stuff.
Right, right.
All of the outtakes, all of the stuff that he fought about putting in the second
sure.
time
right.
that he released
exactly.
the movie. He still held, what's his name, Francis Ford Coppola.
Right.
He still held some stuff back.
Mm-hmm.
But man,
the movie would have been 5 or 6 hours if he left everything
great,
in there.
What a great, great, great movie.
Oh, it is. It's truly a classic. And some of the scenes that they put in, they changed the whole, you know,
the whole timber of the movie.
Yeah, it's fantastic.
It makes you think different about different characters.
Oh, absolutely. And they, you know, when they're on that helicopter, and the is that like a guy in a coffin?
Yes.
That pops open?
Yeah, right.
It's not a girl, right? It's not one of the Playboy bunnies.
No, it's a guy.
It's a guy.
It's a guy, at least.
Very, very freaky.
At least I believe it's a guy.
Very, very freaky.
It's fantastic. And don't waste your time with something like Behind Enemy Lines. I logged a little time with that yesterday. With Owen Wilson and his bad nose.
Right, right.
You know, it's kind of tough to go from...
Now, which one is Owen Wilson? Who is he?
He's the one who was Greggy in Me the Parents.
Okay, yeah, Owen Wilson. And his chewed-on nose.
Yeah.
I made it out of one piece of wood.
The thing is, you go from Apocalypse Now, which is, let's face it, it's a war movie.
Right.
But it's a realistic war movie.
Right.
It's like more realistic than Saving Private Ryan, really.
And it's really, you know, like any great war movie, it's an anti-war movie, which is really, I mean, mm-hmm. it shows you the real horror of war and just the acting and the scenes and the reality of Vietnam. I mean, of all the movies about Vietnam, I think The Deer Hunter is probably a close second, but those are my two favorite Vietnam movies.
And Saving Private Ryan was realistic, But there's a
Saving Private Ryan, the first 20 minutes is the greatest war footage I've ever seen.
But there is a real realistic feel to Apocalypse Now.
I want to give props to whoever recommended that video game Medal of Honor to me, that shooting game when that guy called it. I picked that up. And in one part of it, it's you storm Omaha Beach, and it is the video game version of Saving Private Ryan.
Gotcha.
The most amazing video game I've ever seen.
Wow.
And it's just incredible. I'm on the easy level, and it was just difficult for me to get by.
Well, last night I was watching this Apocalypse Now Redux.
Right.
And I've seen this a million times. It's like a pay-per-view, Behind Enemy Lines. Mm-hmm. Another war movie.
Right.
Based in the modern day.
Right.
With that dummy Owen Wilson, how he gets billing over Gene Hackman in a movie,
right.
I don't know.
No.
But I'm just telling you, this movie sucks ass so bad. And I know it's unfair to compare Behind Enemy Lines with Apocalypse Now.
Yeah, it's unfair to compare any movie with Apocalypse.
But I have to because I went from watching Apocalypse Now
right.
to watching Behind Enemy Lines.
Right.
Apocalypse Now is a goddamn war movie.
Mm-hmm.
Behind Enemy Lines is a music video.
Right, right.
That's really what it is.
That's the one with Gene Hackman in it, right?
Yeah, and it's...
Now, the one I want to see that I didn't see in theaters was Black Hawk Down.
Yeah.
That's the one that's supposed to be pretty intense.
Not bad.
Like, the whole movie's supposed to be like the first part of Saving Private Ryan.
That's what I hear. The movie's got no plot. It's got no beginning, no end. It's just nothing but guys getting all shot up. Today is June 17th.
Right.
Speaking of war. And that means that... 30 years ago today, something happened in America.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And, you know, he's going to be reaping the benefits. He'll be on TV tonight getting free publicity. Like he's some kind of goddamn hero. Come on in. 30 years ago today, this feeble old man broke into Watergate Hotel.
Brother Donald, I am here. I have reclaimed my proper role. Midday is on WJFK. Let me sit down right now.
Now, G, we're going to have to do a break.
A break? Einbriak? There we go.
But you without a doubt are getting all this free publicity again because it was 30 years ago today that the Watergate burglary was discovered.
Right. From the USA Today. Hold on just a second here. Let me read. Dateline Washington. Even as President Bush's approval ratings remain high, his political advisors are mapping a strategy.
No. Don't read out of the newspaper,
please.
Like you do on your radio show.
I thought you'd be interested to recapture the magic that I possessed when I was in this particular time slot. Are you saying that you will not assuage me, Donald? See my Harley Davidson.
Have you gone to the bathroom recently?
I need my Tupperware, and I will do that right now. If the lovely Diana will bring me my Tupperware, I will relieve my bladder. Where is Julie Aurora?
How's the missus?
Fine. Thank you for asking. I am very happy to be here. Of course, it is the anniversary of the break-in. I'm very happy at the Watergate.
We'll be back with our special guest, a guy who ever, you know, and God damn you.
There's no need to take the Lord's name in vain.
20 years ago when the guy worked at the station, he got the bonus during the ratings of being on TV for the 20th anniversary of Watergate.
Right.
Then the 25th anniversary of Watergate. Uh-huh. And now today, you're getting all of this attention for the 30th anniversary of Watergate. When it should be pointed out, it's the 30th anniversary of you bungling a burglary.
Dateline, Genesee, Colorado. The clouds of smoke towering over Colorado from the West Indies are invisible from the sparse suburban enclave in the foothills west of death.
Huh? I smell BM.
I've had one.
Okay,
let me clean myself. I will do so because I'm potent. As you can clearly smell, I am potente.
Sure are.
We'll come right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
And now, for those of you who are visiting from Germany.
Sounds like somebody's got a case of the Mondays.
Right, right.
God damn it. The Don and Mike Show.
And we're back on the Don and Mike Show. This is G. Gordon Liddy. Right before my review of and comment on the news, we will be discussing what is on the minds of most people today, of course, the anniversary of Watergate.
Watergate, yes.
I'm sure many of your listeners are curious, especially many of the same people who frequented me during this time of day on this particular time and place.
The smaller number of people.
Yes, indeed.
And you know what? We're also
Indeed, sir.
We are also coming up on the one-year anniversary of you being fired.
That is correct, Brother Donald. And I regret that day. I rue that day. I drove away in my Harley Davidson motorcycle with a lovely Diana on the back of it. But I am very happy to say it's good to be back.
Diana Kay, executive producer of the G. Gordon Liddy Show.
Indeed, sir. You are correct.
Stacked and packed girl. Diana Kay breaks the blonde stereotype in pieces with her 158 IQ.
And sadly, there is a urine stain in my Lingenfelter Corvette.
Oh, no.
I am terribly
recruited by the G-Man after a 13-year award-winning career in national sales and marketing. She joined the show in November 2000.
Indeed, she did, sir.
30-something Diana is the voice you hear when you call to speak with the G-Man on the air. I'm on your website right now.
She could not. I think I'm not overstating it, as you will clearly see, as I could not possibly have picked anyone lovelier or more bright. And she's a hell of a girl.
Well, there's a picture here.
Indeed, she is.
There's a picture here of the two of you, which appears to be quite intimate, where you... You are hugging her, and she is...
Well, most women, I should point
playing
out...
Playing with your belly.
Now, just hold on there. Let me point out to you that I am a tremendously, even at my age of 70-plus years, I am still virile and potent, and women cannot resist my charms, Brother Donald. You should know that that's true. Of course, that's true.
I'm looking here, though, on your webpage.
Yes,
and,
yes, indeed.
The ggordonliddyshow.com.
Yes, the webpage without the liberal Lanny Davis.
And yes. I noticed, let me just count here in the picture.
Silent coup.
I'm going to count 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 12, 15, 18.
Yes.
21, 24. 24 pictures of your producer, Diana. Yet
I can't
find one picture of your stately wife, Frances Liddy.
Let me remind you that in the movie, I'm sorry, the book Silent Coup by Lynn Kolodny, he says it's better to look at a pretty lady than my face, and you'll notice that is why I've put the lovely Diana on the website many times, so that you won't have to look at me, sir. Now, let me get right to the news.
Where's the picture of Frances, though?
We don't seem to have that up there, but I'm sure that if someone would call me, when I wrote Monkey Handlers, they always wanted photographs. I'm sure you can get a photograph wherever you want.
Why'd you F up the burglary?
Dateline Washington this spring, Army Green Berets, Berets,
sure,
set off from eastern Afghanistan toward the Pakistani border.
Hey, George?
Yeah.
George Liddy?
Yes, yes, Brother Donald. Good to see you again. How have you been?
How did you manage to bungle that simple break-in into that room at the Waterloo Hotel?
I must beg to differ with your premise, sir. It was not a bungling. It was not a bungling at all. It was actually a perfectly executed crime that unfortunately went awry, as many things... Donald?
Yes, yes.
Let
yes,
me
George.
Point out to you that in every enterprise, sir, there is an element of risk. And, of course, with the break-in at the time, we were participating in an operation, covert, as it was, mm-hmm. with an element of risk.
I smell BM again.
I have colored my mustache the color of licorice Twizzlers. Let me point out to you that my mustache is black, and so are my briefs.
I smell.
They are black. If I was to take them off, they would be the color of tar. As they are right now.
I smell BM bad.
There is BM. I must wash. I would like, I require several things when I'm doing my show, and I will require them a few if you are to accommodate me, sir.
All right, well, what do you need to continue here?
First and foremost, I would need a bucket of warm, tepid water. I would like a single bath sheet, a bath towel, if possible.
Yeah.
And I would like a damp towel as well, along with a roll of Bounty paper towels and a glove. Then I will be fine, because I seem to have this tarry substance all over my inner thigh.
Where is your...
It is very disturbing.
Where is your modern autograph machine?
It is upstairs.
I don't think that's something we've ever discussed
it
on
is,
the air.
You mean right. The machine that I purchased to sign my photographs? When someone would say an honor and a privilege, and then they would request an autograph photo, I would whisk it upstairs with one of my many minions. It would then be put in the machine where the automatic autograph signing machine would work. You have your manservant, Rob. I had a machine.
And Rob, how did that machine work? Explain that machine to us.
I seem to have made on my burgundy blazer.
Oh, no.
Oh, the auto pen.
It's very, very tight.
The auto pen would have a small clamp that would hold usually a Sharpie. And they could put the picture down on, like, a table. It's like a desk-type deal.
I got that idea from Bob Conrad. Bob Conrad and I were out there in Los Angeles, and he said, G-Man? I said, yeah, Bob. He said, why do you proceed in wasting the time, valuable time, when you could be writing or overreading your
what?
Your speeches?
Yeah, and you put the picture down, and they'd hit a pedal, almost like a sewing machine pedal.
Well, you have obviously been behind the scenes, sir.
You've signed a few things you don't even know about, Gordon.
I kept the machine right next to my model Messerschmitts.
And then it would say, best
I always
wishes.
Wanted to try a Messerschmitt for the Luftwaffe.
It would say,
the Luftwaffe.
Best wishes, G. Gordon Liddy.
Rob Spiewak driving around in his free BMW. BMW.
I'm going to call.
Come on, man.
On the 30th anniversary of the Watergate break-in, Lisa Herndon to the studio.
Very good. Very good, sir.
You were often talking on the air about...
The lovely Lisa.
About how in shape you are.
Yes, I am indeed.
But in fact, we've noticed, you know...
I am a fighting machine. I am as fit today. I could run an obstacle course.
All right. What we're going to do now is have a little... Hi, Lisa.
Hi.
Arm wrestling, if you don't mind.
Oh, this is great.
Okay.
If you would lead me, my pleasure, I should offer fair warning to your 20-something producer that she is in peril of a serious injury if she chooses to go with me in this particular combat. I am skilled at combat.
All right, so now here we go. It is our producer, the lovely Lisa Herndon, against Phoebe.
Oh, he's fallen down. They haven't even started, and he's on the floor.
G. Gordon Liddy and A.
I have fallen.
Robbie, help him up.
I have fallen.
Help him up. He's got this whole rap that he's this big, virile, macho, tough guy.
That bone?
And this happens on the anniversary.
But you really had to see him in real life waddle around the station like Mr. Magoo.
All right, I'm putting myself. I will do this on my knees to offer a proper advantage to the weak-armed producer of the Don and Mike Show, the lovely Lisa. You are next to arm wrestle G-Man. Would you like to arm wrestle the G-Man now?
The 30th anniversary of Watergate.
All right.
Are you ready there, Rob?
Ready? On the three count.
One, two, three.
Oh, she knocked him on the floor.
He's
shot
across down the again. Room. I've hurt myself.
I heard something pop.
She knocked him. I have a compound fracture of my femur.
I thought so. I heard something.
The bone is through the skin.
Now, what is...
I require a poultice. Dipped some cloth in milk.
She pushed. Hopefully she pushed so hard. On his arm,
I have broke. It's not the femur; it's the right arm.
Do you need help?
I thought it was the femur.
Are you well?
I am well, sir. I am fit and vigorous, and ready for a rematch.
Okay,
but I am bleeding profusely.
One more rematch.
I am a hemophiliac.
Starting to smell like
not stem the flow of blood. There is arterial bleeding.
Wow. Do you want me to sit next to you on the
when
floor?
When you hit an artery, it's all over, baby.
Death in here.
You hit a major artery. Your day is done, man.
Smells like death.
Okay. Someone get me some leather twine. I wish to wrap it around my testicle.
All right. One more time.
Those Tahitian warriors of old.
Lisa beat you last time.
Yeah. Go for two for three, right?
Here we go.
I am ready. Let me put on my headphones. And I will position myself to do battle.
On the 30th anniversary of the Watergate break-in, here he is.
Former all right, baby.
JFK, good guy, disc jockey.
My lovely Lisa, you are next.
All right, baby.
Ready?
Now you're going to have no chance.
One, two, three.
Oh, it snapped.
Oh, no.
The wrist bone has snapped.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, no. We're going to need a splint.
I need to make water.
Again?
Someone get my Tupperware.
All right. Well, G. Gordon Liddy.
Marching artists. I love a great march. This is my kind of music, man. The G-Man playing music after suffering a compound fracture of his wrist. God love you, dog.
Goes. Well, what a mess it is in here.
Gordon Liddy.
So sad.
Beaten by our producer in an arm wrestling match.
Well, the first round, she threw him to the ground.
He was seated. Hello. Good Mike, Jeff.
Hi, Don and Mike.
Hi there.
I'm just wondering why there are really bad retweets playing on the New York station right now.
Well, now, honey, I will take issue with only one part of that, and that is that you're calling the... Oh, I take it back. There is a picture of Mrs. Liddy and her son on the LiddyLetter.com, but there's no picture of
Yeah.
Hot. There's no picture of Gordon with his arm around her and her massaging his belly.
I'd like to see her in camouflage.
There you go, man.
Yeah. Listen, I beg to differ that the repeats are bad.
Yeah.
Oh, it was like that Molly skit, you know, the baby Molly skit. I've heard that like 10 times.
Right? Yeah, I can't help the fact that they're running stuff that's run recently. We don't know what's going on at radio station WNEW.
But why aren't you guys live? You don't know?
We don't know. I mean, you're asking the wrong people.
Well, I miss you.
Well, thank you. And we'd love to be live. We don't know what's going on. If they're going to ask Canis.
Right.
Yeah, but I think they might be getting ready to do that, and that's why they're playing tape.
Or they might be ready to bring us back.
Who knows? We really don't know, and nobody's telling us. And, you know, for quite some time, all we've known is what you've told us.
Oh. Well, I missed you guys.
I don't know. I don't know. I said repeatedly that I want to know, and I do want to know, and I want you to know.
All you know is what I've told you.
Is what I've told you. You know, and for quite some time. that's an old quote from Ronald Reagan. We're making light of it.
And actually, the ratings in New York for the show were up. The ratings just came out last Friday. So we want to
thank you for that.
Oh.
But here is the official statement as to what's going on at WNEW.
Former President Ronald Reagan. Listen up.
I don't know. I only know that that's why I have said repeatedly that I want to find out. I want to get to the bottom of this and find out all that has happened. And so far, I've told you all that I know. And you know, the truth of the matter is, for quite some long time, all that you knew was what I told you.
There you go.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
All right. Thank you, honey.
No.
Bye, guys.
Call the station. Really. Sorry. We don't know what's happening.
Don't know.
What?
Nah, I'll talk to you during the break.
Okay.
In a world where owning a radio was strictly forbidden, one man found a way to bring good news to his people.
Hold that tiger, Mike.
It's me. He made it up.
I will.
Hold that tiger.
Hold that tiger.
Hold that tiger.
Hold that tiger.
Here is Buzz. Hi, Buzz. What's your lead story?
Hi, Don and Mike. Today, the president orders a hit on Saddam Hussein.
Ooh. That's kind of late, isn't it?
Yeah, when you do that, are you supposed to make it public?
Did he order fries with that hit?
Yes, he did.
Duh. Okay,
stay tuned for news and comments.
News and comments. Coming up
on the Don and Mike Show.
Don and Mike Show. That was very
professional.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
What's the word from Planet Crackpot?
The Don and Mike Show.
Had it out there here with the likes of you people.
A day-to-day struggle to find the worst in people. The Don and Mike Show.
Hey, now listen, it's coming back on Wednesday. The return of Strip Trivia.
Hooray.
We got 7 girls lined up. Trolling for more tomorrow.
Yeah, we'd like to double that number.
You notice that today, I'm very proud. We've not begged.
Right, no.
We've not played the song.
We haven't done any pleading at all. We've gotten a tremendous response.
Yeah.
That's what a trip to Hollywood, California would do. In my humble opinion.
Oh, you mean the trip we're giving away?
Yeah, yeah. That's why we're getting that kind of response to Strip Trivia.
I thought you were talking about Leah again.
No.
No. The America's Sweethearts.
No.
I'm out of my mind. Hello, Donna Mike.
Hey, Don. Mike Buzz. This is Eddie from Queens. What's the matter? We don't get you live anymore in New York?
Call WNEW, Eddie.
Those bastards.
We don't know.
We don't know.
I miss you guys, man.
We miss you.
I still listen to the show, though. I can't believe they did this.
Sorry, Eddie.
I wish I could curse. All right, take care, guys.
Hang in there.
I will, bro.
Bye-bye.
All right.
Bye-bye. Hello, Donna Mike.
Hi, this is Francis Liddy.
Hey, how you doing, honey?
Can I play Strip Trivia?
Yeah, you can. We'd love to have you come down on Wednesday. Can you be here by 11 o'clock?
I think I can.
Who's the celebrity you most resemble, Francis?
Oh, I don't know. Roseanne Barr, about 80 years old.
Okay, very good.
She'll be good to help keep score because she has a tremendous understanding of mathematics.
That's right, and she's thick.
Sturdy, Mike.
Sturdy, sorry.
Thank you, Francis.
Sorry, Rob. Wrong word.
Thank you, Francis. Lovely.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Lovely. Wednesday, the return of Strip Trivia, Don and Mike Show. 877-365-3636 if you want to play. We'll get some more girls today and tomorrow, and then at the end of the show tomorrow, we'll open it up to the guys.
Right.
And Wednesday, boom, it's back. Strip Trivia. Everybody loves it.
Fantastic.
Here is Buzz. Hi, Buzz.
Hi, Don and Mike. Our top lawmakers in Washington say yes, President Bush has given the order that could lead to the death of Iraqi leader Saddam Hussein.
Nice, Bush.
They confirm that Bush has okayed covert operations, and they say they like the idea.
What?
This doesn't make any sense.
I know.
It doesn't seem to. I'm hearing the word covert
right,
and sources in the same thing.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Who's leaking this crap?
Well, I think the White House is. I think the White House is very much
they
aware.
They want him to know that people are coming after him.
I think they don't mind that he knows. In fact, he's known for some time. The president's had his eye on Saddam.
You know, for quite some time.
Quite some time.
I don't know. I only know that that's why I said repeatedly that I want to find out.
I want to find out about this. I want to get to the bottom of this.
All that has happened.
All that's happened. And so far, really,
I've told you
all that I know, and really,
the matter is, for quite some long time, all that you knew is what I've told you.
For quite some long time. The president's had his eye on Saddam almost since he took office, indefinitely since 9/11, but these are the first direct military orders to take out Hussein. Now, the order tells the CIA to use all possible means to take out the Iraqi president in the course of self-defense. Now, having to defend yourself against Saddam and his men is an easy setup if you go in and try to capture him. Quoting one official, it's not a silver bullet, but we could get lucky.
You know, I'm tired of fighting this war trying to get lucky.
Yeah, but it's so dumb.
It seems odd, doesn't it?
I mean, the old days of the CIA, when the CIA did stuff, you never heard about it.
It's so crazy, it just might work.
The United States,
the eternal... I think they have a plan in mind, and yeah, it does seem odd, but I don't think they would have intentionally released this information if they didn't have some kind of a plan. At least, I hope they would.
But I mean, logic dictates, if you're going to do this, you don't show your hand.
The tards.
Right.
They're total tards.
They're tards.
Plus, there's no master plan here.
Okay.
They're not in those bunkers down underground, and they're going, okay, now here's the deal. We're going to announce... that we're going to go after Saddam.
Mm-hmm. And then he'll, like, get extra defenses and, you know, hide in one of his many hiding places and surround himself with 10 times more security than he normally has, which is 10 times more than any other world leader.
Right.
But that'll make him easier to get.
Get this story to Buzz Burbank immediately.
he'll buy it.
Hey, yeah, Buzz will give us that great quote that he always gives. It's so crazy, it might just work.
Well, how about this? The United States is about to make its first appearance in 72 years at soccer's World Cup quarterfinals.
I mean, give me a B.
B.
Give me an F.
F.
Give me a D.
D.
What's that spell?
Big F.
Deal.
The U.S.
So crazy.
Almost said it. U.S. beat Mexico today 2-0. Well, the skies are a lot safer now that air marshals are on board, right? Not according to Senator Conrad Burns. The Montana Republican says the odds are against having an air marshal on your flight.
The odds are overwhelmingly against it.
That's wrong, Mr. Burns, Mike.
I'm Mr. Burns. Senator Burns. Smithers.
The exact number of air marshals is classified, but Burns figures there are only about 1,000, not nearly enough, he says, to cover the 35,000 commercial flights each day.
There's another great job being handled by your CIA, Buzz.
That's right. The law requires marshals on routes considered high risk. That includes nonstop cross-country flights.
Get me an air marshal for a covert mission to assassinate Saddam Hussein. And before he goes over, tell the world.
You know who was on my last flight?
Who?
What's his name?
Eminem?
No.
Marshall Mathers?
No.
Sorry, he's a marshal.
Someday, some way.
Oh, Marshall Crenshaw.
Marshall Crenshaw.
Peter Marshall.
I was sitting next to an author.
Who's that?
Marshall McLuhan.
Well, I had an actor.
Marshall Matt Dillon.
Marshall.
Marshall Brady. No, that doesn't count, I know.
Marshall.
I was a Thurgood Marshall. Was on my
last
plane.
Last name, though.
Are we doing, didn't you do a last name at first?
Yeah, I guess I did. Whatever, you're King of the Marshall.
George Marshall, the former Minnesota lineman.
You're King of the Marshalls.
It was also E.G. Penny.
Oh, wow.
Gary.
Wow.
Oh, all right. Give it Gary. Down. Yeah, Gary.
And
Gary. Gary.
Fire Marshal.
It was not a happy...
Penny. We forgot Penny.
Penny right. Marshall.
Right.
It was not a happy...
And it's Jim Marshall, Mike.
Jim Marshall.
Jim Marshall.
I'm sorry. I messed that one up.
It was not a happy Father's Day for Scott Myers of Sacramento, California.
Rob, Mike, need to do the dance yet.
This one deserves the dance, Don. They can go ahead and dance. Scott is the 43-year-old dad featured in an HBO documentary who shares drugs with his kids.
Oh, is this the ecstasy dad?
Yes. Last week, Scott was arrested and charged with 2 counts of felony child endangerment. The documentary Small Town Ecstasy was filmed 2 years ago and shows Myers taking X with his 13-year-old son and 15-year-old daughter.
I'm not laughing at the story. I'm laughing at the dancing.
Oh, I know.
And I saw this documentary. This dad ought to be strung up.
Well, that's what the sheriff thinks. In fact, the sheriff says he's also concerned about HBO's responsibility. Quoting him, I don't think it's appropriate to stand by and watch kids take drugs without doing something about it.
I totally agree. Well, they called the cops, didn't they?
I don't know if HBO did or not, because today, at least, HBO has no comment on this.
What does the CIA say?
I don't know, but I'm sure it's right.
You saw that documentary, didn't you, with the dad? With the dumbass dad from Sacramento?
Hold on. Buzz, we got a break. We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Gosh, I hate to interrupt. It's all been so incredibly fascinating and entertaining and instructive. Really, the time has just flown by.
The Don and Mike Show.
Some pink.
Yeah.
To Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
Let's see. Hi, Don and Mike Show.
Hello.
Hello, who's this?
This is Megan.
Megan, are you a lying, conniving, two-faced bitch?
No, I like to think I'm pretty trustworthy.
That's what we like to hear.
A stand-up lady.
I try.
You call strip trivia?
You're darn right I am.
God damn, that's good news.
Yeah.
That makes eight.
Who's the celebrity you most resemble?
According to my boss, it's Betty Davis. But, Mike, you met me. You might be able to say that better.
When did I meet you, Megan?
At your show at the Shark Club. I was the tattooed lady giving out cigarettes.
Are you the lady that worked with you were the married lady with the guy with both had all tattoos all over you?
Bingo, that's me.
Oh, yeah, all right. She's interesting looking.
All right.
she's covered with tattoos.
Megan, you're in.
Awesome.
See you Wednesday morning. 11
o'clock.
I will
be there.
For the resurrection of Strip Trivia. Mm-hmm. Ah, it'll be a great day on the Don and Mike Show.
Crap Blues Band brought to you by Winston Cigarettes.
Here is Buzz.
Hi, Don and Mike. School's out forever, probably, for a substitute teacher in New York. Last week, Danilo Nunez reached the breaking point while trying to break up a fight between a couple of six-year-old boys. Apparently, he hit one of the boys with a broomstick. When the other kids saw what had happened, they ran to help their classmate. And the teacher allegedly hit them, too.
Grandpa, this banana's fantastic.
They say he kept swinging that broomstick and shouting, "Shut up! Shut up!" The melee was eventually stopped by a school security guard. In the end, 21 first graders were taken to the hospital. The school system says it's working to get the teacher's license revoked.
That would cause for a parent-teacher conference.
Yes,
in my
opinion. Yes, it would.
All I know is the guy has a brand new drink out that's fantastic. Danilla Ice. Isn't his name Danilla?
Yes.
Danilla.
Danilla Ice. After 30 years, they're still guessing at the identity of Deep Throat. That's the nickname given to the source of the Washington Post reporter.
Al Haig.
He has been asked about that.
Yeah, it is him.
Jigor Liddy.
So?
Yeah.
Well, this is the source for the Washington Post reporter who worked on the story of the Watergate break-in and everything that followed. What?
I'm thinking Don might be right.
Liddy.
You know, guy that likes the spotlight.
Liddy.
I don't know.
They both like the spotlight. I think it's either Liddy or Haig.
But he was fiercely loyal, too. So I think it would be somebody who wasn't necessarily fiercely loyal to Nixon. That would be my thought.
See, you know what? Buying into all Liddy's BS.
Well, but I mean, it was because of his loyalty that he did the thing in the first place.
Well, and Liddy was the most...
His misguided loyalty.
I mean, but he was the most loyal of all of them because he's the only one that did time.
You know the way that they had the meeting. They said, who's the dumbest guy we got? Liddy. Mm-hmm. All right, let him do it.
Right.
Who's the only one who's dumb enough that he won't give up the rest of us?
Well,
Liddy.
You might like this candidate. A professor at Northwestern University says he and his students have narrowed the list of candidates to Pat Buchanan, who was Nixon's speechwriter at the time.
Okay. Hi, Don and Mike.
We appreciate
F you, white trash.
And
No way. I don't think it's Pat Buchanan. He's too much of a zealot. He's too much of a party guy.
And we may find out for sure later today when former White House lawyer John Dean reveals his pick for the source named Deep Throat on the Internet. He'll be doing that today at Salon.com. The break-in at Democratic headquarters by supporters of a re-election seeking Nixon soured people on politics for years that followed.
I think it was Elvis.
Let me tell you something, man. Yeah, but you've aimed too high.
Funny you should mention Elvis. He's at the top of the British music charts this week. Yes, Elvis Aaron Presley.
I wonder if you're lonesome tonight.
Hey, that chick last night.
Go ahead. She could raise the dead.
The question is, could it also happen here? The song A Little Less Conversation only made it to number 69 on American charts when it was released in 1968. It didn't chart at all in Britain.
69,
man. Toucan shoe.
But the Brits love it. Now that it's been used in an ad campaign for athletic shoes, it can also be heard on the soundtrack of the recent remake of the movie Ocean's 11. The Elvis song doesn't start out sounding like Elvis. The current remix has a one-minute techno-sounding intro.
I'd like to try to do my latest record. I tried it last night, and I didn't make it.
Yeah, he didn't take drugs.
I don't know the words to it, so I had to read it.
He's fine.
If you give it up, just, please forgive us.
No, he'll be fine.
This is the song.
Yeah.
Is this it?
Yeah.
Wow. Hey, Buzz, you got to jump to the chase.
All right.
We're way late today.
Okay. Finally, make up your own jokes for this one. In Riverside, California, sheriff's deputies raided a golf tournament Friday in which the players were allegedly offered prostitutes. It was a private tournament at Southern California's Hidden Valley Golf Club.
What's the bar in this hole?
Officers say there were tents pitched along the fairway in which the hookers were plying their trade.
Wow.
Two managers and at least four women were arrested. About 100 male golfers were held for questioning. The owner of the golf course says he's shocked by the sex charges and says he can't believe it happened at his place. I'm Buzz Burbank on the Don and Mike Show.
Thank you, Buzz.
No!
Yeah.
I'll keep it up.
All right, that's it. We got to go. Thank you for all the great calls today. Thank you so much for listening. Back tomorrow for the new episode. Good day to you, sir.
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 And, Robbie.
Yes.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
Toodaloo.
Ass. Can we meet again? Sammy Davis Jr. saying, be kind, be nice. And I hope the next performer has the pleasure of having as nice an audience as you've been tonight. And let me leave you swinging.